a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Can you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity Bert. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Don and Mike, anytime, from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Stop the rock.
Welcome to our show.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Try this very carefully. You might want to turn that music down. Like the doctor said.
Yes.
Very mellow.
Speak softly.
Carry a big thank you. I love it when we're in New York and you have a microphone. Thanks for starting us off that way.
And say hi to Rob's friends. Always travel with us.
Get the hell out of here!
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of faith. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob Spielberg! Jesus, now he's got his own goddamn singer.
It's terrific, isn't it?
Really? No, it's not terrific.
They don't have laryngitis. They sound great.
They listen to their, listen to those baritones. You know, and some one of these days, you're going to get a translation.
Oh, we got it, Mike.
And it's, oh, no.
We have the translation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're playing the safest one.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah. And but it's not all that safe. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Spider-Man and all the ships at sea. And now, to celebrate the 75th anniversary of NBC, the original cast of Bonanza, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob, and hello, Ed. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this. God damn it.
You know.
Monday.
Wow. Sorry.
Monday.
The rest did you well.
Monday. I've not spoken for 4 days.
Wow.
Monday, and it is May 6th.
Right.
Phone number from anywhere in America. You know, I'm much better when I'm not trying to talk like a disc jockey.
Well, you gotta, that's why, turn the goddamn music off. That's it. You're talking over music, which ain't gonna work.
But Mike, we gotta have the momentum, baby.
I understand.
877-365-3636.
Right.
National number. I'll try without the music.
Yeah. There we go.
How's that?
See, now you can speak the way your doctor has told you to speak.
D.C. 202-432-1067.
Very hard to get out of that habit, though.
New York, 877-692-1027. What the son of a bitch has done, what he's done is he's taken the passion out of what I do.
Yeah.
You normally express yourself in a very demonstrative, very loud way.
High energy.
Here are the rules that I've been given.
Okay.
And I'm seeing a specialist today.
Good.
Right. At 4 o'clock. Incidentally, his last client, Billy Joel.
There you go.
On air, relatively soft speaking.
Good.
Everybody talks loud. Don't talk loud.
Okay.
And also...
What do I hear?
I moved the mic.
No, does anybody hear that?
No, I didn't hear that. I just...
Stop for a second.
Shh.
Here I am telling you about my medical condition, Mike. I don't hear nothing.
Am I the only one that's hearing vroom, vroom?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's street noise, you know, just the standard building vibration.
Oh, forget it. All right.
And also, no yelling.
Yeah, no yelling.
No yelling.
You just yelled at me.
No yelling.
You just yelled at me.
No, I didn't yell.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
I won't goad you into an argument now with your present medical condition.
I didn't yell.
All right, so your doctor has told you to do exactly what?
Actually, the doctor said the best thing to do is simply not to talk.
Oh. Right.
Well, unfortunately, it's how we make our living.
It's how you feed your family.
Right. So I'm here. Yeah. I'm queer. Right. And I'm doing the radio show.
Right. And you're now what the specialist might have, and you quit cigars also, right?
I have, I'm waiting to get the word from the guy today.
Well, sometimes they don't always tell you. I'm telling you. As Dr. Mike, I'm telling you, you got to go off those things for a while.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to hear that today.
Probably, yeah.
From the good doctor.
Right.
Let me just tell you that the last 4 days...
It's got to be maddening. It's got to be one of the most frustrating. I can't imagine. I remember I had it. Like 10 years ago, and I had it for 2 days, and when I had it, all of a sudden it just snapped out of it. I mean, I woke up one day, came into work halfway during the show, I had laryngitis, and then it just went away, and my voice came back. To have it as long as you've had it has to be amazingly, I mean, stressful has got to be the word.
And this is as good right now. I just had a sip of tea.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, this is as good as it gets.
Wow. And you didn't talk for 3 days.
4 days.
Four days.
I didn't talk at all. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Rob is a testament to that.
Right.
We went to dinner with the Speewax on Saturday night, and
you communicated with sign language.
With my pen and pencil.
Simply notes. I mean, it was amazing, and he could really convey the comedy even through notes.
Now, I just have to tell you that there are good things and there are bad things about having laryngitis.
Mm-hmm.
Among the good things, I don't have to talk to my wife.
This is true. You communicate through notes and certain, as you were communicating at breakfast, certain sign language.
Among the bad things, I don't have to talk to my wife. It's a good thing not to have to talk to her, but it's also a bad thing because I would... Hey, Rob, get her on the phone.
Okay.
Because I have to tell you that...
You're already charged up too much. I can tell you.
It is so... effing frustrating.
It's gotta be.
Oh, and I wasn't able to.
Because the way you talk, I realize right now the way you talk, when the doctor said, keep it down to a dull roar, keep it kind of mellow, you're wanting to get into that already. You want to get into that thing. I know.
And I wasn't able to go to the B90 Bong 96 reunion this weekend in Chicago.
Buzz, you went to that, right?
I did, and you were sorely missed, Don.
Well, I'm sure if I had gone to that, I'd be dead today.
Yeah, right.
It would just be a torso, no head. just a torso.
Sure.
So, here's the deal with you got her?
Yeah, she's there.
There she is. All right, hello. Hi. Hello, sweetheart.
I've missed the sound of my boy's voice.
Well, here I am. Now, let me tell you that the last 4 days...
Right.
This has been nutty beyond belief. At first, I thought, when they said, don't talk, I thought, wow, well, this is great. I don't have to communicate with my wife. And for the first 2 or 3 hours, it was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Because... Yeah, I couldn't talk. I could just nod yes or nod no, and I had a legal pad.
I never realized you talk all the time at home. I never. I think of you as being quiet or shy at home. You talk all the time, and it's mostly really unnecessary chit chat.
Unnecessary
you are a big
banter.
Chatter.
No,
wow.
It's just too bad my ears are okay.
So this could be. This sounds to me like it could be a breakthrough point in your marriage where you're going into a new level.
You drive me crazy, but the nice thing was when it started to annoy me, all I had to do was turn my back.
And then
if I discovered this no talking thing sooner, maybe I would have saved mine.
The only way that I could get her attention would be to stand in a room and
clap. Yeah,
she should have gotten you a bell.
I would clap, and it got to the point where we were almost playing charades constantly.
Right, and it was right. So annoying. So it, because it was, it, I would say, it, this your pants better be on fire right now, because we're playing a half hour worth of charades. For whatever it is that's so critically important that you can't wait till you're near a pen. Well, and it would be something like, don't forget to pick up the dry cleaning.
Right. Well, it's stuff that I wanted my wife to know.
Well, just tell me when you're near a pen. I got so tired of this game.
And it was a fun game for me, honey. It
doesn't sound like it's done you any good at all. That's the thing.
It was very frustrating for both of us.
Your voice is worse than it was Wednesday a week ago. I mean, has anybody told you that?
You know what? Off the radio, I got to work on this.
Yeah.
Off the radio, like when I spoke to my wife this morning.
At this level.
Well, when I speak at a normal level,
right,
it's actually better.
Okay.
But I don't know how to do a radio show
without
speaking at it. And trust me, I'm holding it back right now.
Right. And normally you're, you know, it's always been a controlled scream.
I'm not going a million miles an hour right now.
Right, no. Exactly.
So this weekend.
God, I hope this doesn't mean
you got to do like the Fraser Crane radio show.
I can't do that, honey.
Hello, I'm listening.
And you know, the doctor said that also, don't whisper. So that's bad too.
Really?
Don't whisper.
Wow.
So I'm totally screwed, and I'm like trying to make points with my wife this weekend. I don't mean I'm trying to make points. I'm trying to communicate with the dizzy broad, and I'm running around behind.
Dizzy. Right. I'm the one smoking cigars while I can't speak.
I'm walking around.
Was he smoking cigars over the weekend?
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't been told yet that I can't.
How retarded do you have to be?
That is dumb.
But the ironic thing is, you know, he'll blow his voice out. He won't be able to afford cigars, and his voice will get better.
All right, listen. So
you were smoking cigars this weekend?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes, I was.
Morning cigar. You know, all the regulars.
I got back.
Yeah, Jack Klugman, you're cutting back.
Oh, ouch. Listen, I know I'm going to be told today by the doctor when I go to the doctor.
Yeah. Right.
When I go to the specialist, I know that's the first thing he's going to say. Mm-hmm. Although it's not, you know, as the ear, nose, and throat guy told me, and as the regular doctor told me, I got no polyps, I got no throat cancer.
What's doing it? What's causing it? Is it just like a little phlegm?
First, I had a cold.
Right.
Then I had allergies.
Right.
Then I have... my life.
Yes, right, of course.
And
and then you have cigars.
Honey.
And look, you know, there are people that bring it to the hole in their neck, baby doll.
Baby.
Do you think you're hopelessly addicted to nicotine?
I think... No. I hate to see what's coming next.
Honey. You know what, honey?
We'll really be able to do that show.
Really, honey.
Hi, how are you?
Honey, you know what? You and I both know that I'm not going to talk about...
I know you've had stress in your life. We all have stress.
We've had a very stressful time recently.
Yeah, but you don't hear me talking like that. I just got my regular annoying voice.
but you don't have to talk for 4 hours.
It sounds to me like the issue with your wife is the cigar smoking.
Yeah, I know, but any excuse. If I had stubbed my toe, she would say it's because you smoke cigars.
I don't... look, baby, I don't harass you about your cigar smoking. You've got your own separate room. You smoke.
Don't turn this...
See, you're pushing it.
I'm worried about our livelihood here. Now you're messing with
me. Don't turn this into a cigar smoking issue.
And then plus, you're not supposed to talk, but in your sleep... There you were. It had to come out somewhere.
Yeah, she yells at
me. Were you really talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah, she said to me on Sunday, and I had abided by this no talking thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. She said, you were talking. And I said, BS, I was talking.
Right.
And she said, you're talking in your sleep. Also, we had...
And that's how you can tell a guy's not faking it, because when he sounds like that in his sleep...
Yeah, I bet. There's no way you could fake that.
Well, and I'd like to thank... general manager of the year, Ken Stevens. Yeah.
Ken Stevens, the trusting general manager?
Yeah. Ken
Thought
Stevens,
you were fudging it?
Ken Stevens, who sent me an email saying, where are you? And I wrote him back saying, well, I've got laryngitis. It's stress-induced, but it's all this other stuff. Right. And he wrote me back, and he said... Well, I've never heard of that before.
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard laryngitis before.
What are you trying to pull?
Jesus Christ. So, a lot of the weekend...
So, tell them about our phone conversations. Those were interesting.
So, for instance, I'm out, and I'm not allowed to speak.
Right.
So, I call Frida.
And all I hear is breathing. Labored breathing.
Labored breathing.
Again, it's not labored breathing.
It is. It's that raspy, phlegmy breathing.
I'm letting her know that it's me. Right?
So I say, are you all right? Beep once for yes, twice for no. So that would be our conversation. Okay, is it something that you need to tell me? All right. And then we go through 20 questions.
We've played this game all weekend.
Well, I know you had to enjoy that a little bit, too. It's got to be kind of fun.
Does it get tedious after a while?
Because
all I wanted to do was just say to her, go to the dry cleaners. Find out about the trip to California.
Right.
Has Charlie Broyhill called? Oh, and I played the game with him as well.
Oh, good.
On Friday. Right. When he called up, when Frida got sick of me writing stuff down.
Yes.
And her reading it back to Broyhill.
I did that one time. I spoke to your wife one time when this was all going down, and that was good enough for me.
Oh, no. You know what's fun about that is I could add little comments. Okay, Charlie, he needs this taken care of, and the plane tickets are fine. And by the way, he says, absolutely no more naked women in the studio. He's tired of that.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, order that mic for Frida at our house. Right.
Yeah. Very funny. It was very funny.
My God, how long has that gone on? That she still brings up the microphone.
She still wants a mic at house.
Well, because I hear other people. Never mind. I got
honey,
a little bit of.
Listen, you know, a che up a.
I know.
Okay.
That's all right. Give them, do whatever you want with anybody else.
Is she talking about the thing?
See, here's the thing. With my wife, she just doesn't know when to shut up.
Right?
She really doesn't. Just like, honey.
Mm. Well, you know, on the bright side, maybe I'll start smoking a box of cigars a day, and I'll have to shut up.
First, I don't smoke a box of cigars a day.
How many do you do a day?
3 to 4. These cigars.
She's laughing. She's laughing sarcastically.
Okay, ask him how many afternoon.
Oh, right. 3 to 4 a day. Mm-hmm. I have one cigar in the morning, when I get up, when I'm reading the newspaper, when I'm watching the Today Show. I have one cigar during the show.
But the doctors examined your throat and you don't have anything in there that would indicate.
No.
Right.
Listen, Jesus, F all of you guys. I've got laryngitis.
You know, you're not doing what the doctor said, though.
Well, It's because I'm talking to my wife because she's pissing me off now. Because there are two different things that she's already brought up on the show today.
Right.
That she knows better she should not bring up on the radio.
Well, you know, this is motivation for you, my darling, because if you go back into laryngitis, all you do is get to hear me lecture you all day long.
But you know that there are two things that you weren't supposed to bring up.
I didn't say a thing.
Yes, you did.
I did not. I said, do whatever you want. Couldn't have been any
bigger. She's not pleased about the new development, then.
What new development?
Whatever.
See, yes. I'm no less vague. I mean, I'm vaguer than anybody.
Oh, Christ's sake.
Hey, I'm just here.
I've not been told I can say anything about
it.
Right.
Don't.
Right.
Well, then why did you bring it up?
I just brought up, I'd like a microphone.
Okay. And what about the other thing? What about the stress thing? You know,
everybody has stress.
Honey, why are you focused on stress? You are making it sound like the only reason that I have laryngitis is because I smoke cigars.
No, the main reason is because you had an allergy sinus phlegm goo going down your throat. Aggravated by everything.
And I'm going to start laughing in a second.
Am I saying something wrong because I say you have allergies? Is that somehow private?
No, that's not private.
All right.
What's private is the last thing.
I can always tell when you two have spent a little too much time together.
You know what? We didn't get this signal, but it means F you.
Oh, come on. Sweetie.
What?
Sweetie.
What?
Come on, what do you mean F you? F me, F you.
Hey, yeah, and you can't get mad at me.
Oh, I can get mad at you in my head.
You can get mad at her through tapes.
You just can't hear it anymore.
You have a
oh my God,
that instant replay at your disposal.
No, I don't want to say those things to my wife.
Well, no, I'm not. I don't know what you would say, but you can communicate through the magic of audio tape.
There is nothing on there that I want to say to her right now.
Okay, but I mean, you can communicate to anybody that way.
If I said
I agree with her that the cigars are probably a bad idea.
Eat my bone.
Yeah, you don't hesitate with me at all.
Weed.
See, there you go.
Right, of course, not with you.
No, I mean, that's what I'm here for.
So anyway, the weekend, all weekend, it's writing notes. Yeah. It's and she's such a pisser that even when I would try to tell her something nice.
Right. Like, I love you, thank you for taking care of me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She would get mad that I took the time to write that down in a note.
No, I you know, the 20-minute charade when I'm, is what was the most aggravating. The notes were fine.
So it was a patience issue, is that what it was?
Oh. Right, because
yesterday she
because he's the man, he has
because,
to drive.
Because.
So yesterday, she's driving me to the train station.
No, you drove yourself, and I said to you, if you drive, don't try and communicate with me, because charades, while you're driving, while you're changing the radio and smoking a cigar, is a little aggravating. So
it's very easy when we are driving. I would, for instance, write a letter. Like, let me ask.
In the air.
Yeah, now let me ask you.
Mike, yeah, that's easy.
Mike, what letter am I writing right now?
W.
Mm-hmm.
H.
Mm-hmm.
A.
T.
Right.
What? First word.
What?
Yeah, so we're okay, now, why you just word. Couldn't even let me drive?
Second word.
Right.
A.
You know what? I'm about to
third
hang up.
Word.
I'm going to throw up if I hear this game one more time.
C.
You.
Stop it.
And.
Okay. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to do with my wife.
It's
so easy. It takes five seconds.
It doesn't take 5 seconds.
And she's asking me questions while we're driving. She's saying, like, oh, I like that car. What kind of car is that? Now, how am I supposed to answer if I'm not allowed to talk?
Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed to answer?
For even conversing with you by saying I like that car.
It was a Honda. So what I did was I wrote in the air, H-O, and then she figured out, she said, okay, it's a Honda. She said, I'm tired of charades. So the whole way to the train station yesterday, there was nothing said.
You talk so much more than I do.
I, Mike's doing it now. First word, I.
Second word.
Second word. I couldn't get it, Mike.
Right. Yeah, right. See, it's not so easy, is
second
it?
Second word. A.
M.
I M. Third word. A.
H.
H. I. HIV. Positive. See, honey, see how easy it was for you to get that message from Mike that he's HIV positive?
It's not Yeah, right. It's not annoying a bit while you're driving on the Beltway to have somebody air
I was simply doing that as a comedy exercise, ladies and gentlemen, just to lighten up the mood.
Let me just say, though, that...
gotta do the sign language, Don!
That, well, see, now I've worked into kind of a groove now.
Now, this is the level you should speak at.
Feeling a little better now.
Mm-hmm.
You did do a fantastic job of helping me through the last 4 days, and I do want to talk about the laziest kid in the world.
Mm-hmm.
His first name is Bart.
Mm-hmm.
He happens to be of my loins.
Mm-hmm.
He happens to be of my wife's loins.
Right.
I'm telling you, this kid defined laziness for us this weekend.
Really?
We've had problems waking our kid up.
Mm-hmm.
All parents do.
Right.
Saturday, he's got, what was it, an SAT thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, what, do you want me to talk about this?
No, go ahead. I'm just remembering. Right. That was a disgruntled remembering.
Saturday morning, he's got the little dog, Rudy, the little tiny dog, sleeping in his bed.
Okay.
Rudy just started sleeping in his bed.
Frida comes into me and she says, you are not going to believe.
Well, Bart set like 3 alarms in his room to help him wake up.
Right.
God love him. He's trying, you know, to wake up.
So there are 3 alarms going at once, and he is still laying there, laying like a dead guy.
All 3 of the alarms going off at the same time?
Meanwhile, and so they wake Rudy up.
So they wake up the dog. The dog S's and P's. All around my son in this bed.
Well, no, because you know what it looks like. You know how the people have a knife thrower will have their model and they'll throw the knives all around them and outline their bodies?
Right.
He was outlined in poop.
Oh, really? So the dog right on the bed?
Right on the bed.
Because the dog is too little to get down, and it had been woken up. I didn't rush in when I heard the alarms. I mean, I was in like 15 minutes later. I thought, oh, I'll go get the dog and let him out. Well, the dog couldn't wait.
Right.
So Bart was surrounded by poop.
Oh.
And pee. Now, keep in mind, my kid's 17. So my wife goes in, she gets the little dog, she starts cleaning up the dog poop.
Yeah.
Around your son?
Around my son. And she's saying to him,
I'm saying, don't move, don't roll, don't change position.
She is saying to him, you are surrounded
by dog feces, yet my son is so freaking lazy. He still refuses to wake up.
I'm awake.
She says to him, "Can you not smell this? I smell it from walking down the hall."
I open the window.
So he... Unfazed
by
nothing will interrupt his sleep.
Wow. I tried to take the blanket. He said, "No, I don't. You know, I don't have underwear on or something." So I left the blanket there.
So,
but I just cleaned up the major deposit.
He has three alarm clocks going at the same time.
Wow!
Three radios to three different stations,
right,
blasting at an incredible level.
He's surrounded by dog poop and pee. He is aware that there is dog poop and pee, but he refuses to get up.
He closes back off.
He chooses to go back to sleep.
Wow.
So Frida pulls the covers out.
Mm-hmm.
She scoops up the dog poop, and there's like then you see the giant wet spots,
right,
where the dog has gone number
one. So these are sheets that ought to immediately be thrown in the laundry anyway.
So what she does is she pulls the sheets off the bed,
uh-huh,
and the kid still lays there. He is still laying on the bed. Now he's just laying on the mattress.
Wow.
Now he's just, and he's not gotten up. He has still not gotten up.
Boy, that's a heavy-duty sleeper there.
Yeah.
So he's got this SAT thing that he's got to be to at 8:30.
Yeah. Plus, earlier than that. Go ahead.
You know, he's the luckiest kid in the world, though. He's the only kid I know who can sleep with dog ass,
right,
and dog number one around him and have three alarm clocks going and be late but still make it on time,
wow,
for his SAT.
And I like to add, still had time for a shower, thank God.
And that was, you know, that for me was the part that ruined it, because I said to Frida, the lesson that I want this kid to learn eventually,
right,
is you got responsibility, you got to get your ass out of bed, we've got to stop getting him up.
Mm-hmm.
If he misses something that's important, it's going to teach him the lesson.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the whole time, oh, he's up there sleeping in dog ass.
Right.
Well, he's going to miss his SAT.
This will teach him.
But you know what?
He may, dog ass and all.
The golden boy.
Well, you know, also, if he's a good tester, you know, look for that 4.0 average.
He said he did well.
Well, of course he did.
He thought he got two questions wrong on the whole test.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure that's not true, but he said he did well.
I mean, I will tell you, back in my day, I was a big sleeper. Big sleeper in college, you know, through high school, in college also. I used to have a college roommate, Mike Chacho, who lifted weights starting at 7 o'clock. This was not a roommate made in heaven. When I'm in college, I mean, I would schedule my first test or my first class on Monday for 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
Because anything else was difficult for me. And I'd knock off to 11:30, quarter or 12 if I could every day. And he'd get up at 7 o'clock lifting his weights, looking at his bicep, the dick, and he'd say, "You only need 8 hours. I swear to God, if I survived college without putting a brick in his head, I was okay. But, I mean, I think at that age...
everybody sleeps.
Yeah, you're dealing with your almost your maximum need for sleep, right?
So, right. And I'm frustrated because I'm not able to yell at him. And right. I really want to yell at him. Yeah. And I'm writing
stuff. You were an early riser even before you had kids, right?
Yeah, we were up.
Yeah, but as a teenager, nothing woke me up either. We're living in the Washington suburbs. I don't know if you remember, darling, because you grew up not far from I did... but there was a house that got blown up because the person was with State Department or something. A bomb went off. And I slept through that right in our neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, that age, I mean, you sleep. You can sleep till noon and do it easily.
This is what was so frustrating about the weekend, is that Frida is cleaning up the dog ass. And he's still sleeping. And I can't go yell at him. I can't say there. I'm writing on a piece of paper.
Maniacally.
I'm writing down... And she hates the fact that I'm writing with a Sharpie.
Oh.
She wants
you
me
can't
to
read it.
She wants me to use a regular pen.
Couldn't you go to, like, a toy store and get one of those see and speak, or...
Yeah, they must be something.
The magic slate where you write and then you pull the page up and it erases.
Yeah.
All I know is that I'm writing...
technology.
I'm writing stuff like...
That's fun. That was a big toy.
You want to try to top that? got a better idea?
I am writing to my wife.
Well, we do have a better idea.
Buzz invented Tinker Toy.
But
I'm trying to think of an old toy, and it's hard to do.
Yeah. He would call
Lincoln
me.
Logs.
Buzz invented the dreidel.
I used my little AOL instant message device, and he'd instant message me.
Yeah, we would do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she was in the house,
Didn't that thing used to have like a, it was a gray back. It had a little piece of plastic on it. Didn't it have like a clown on top of it?
No. It had the man that you could draw the beard on.
No, that was a magnetic thing.
That's another thing. He's talking about the thing where you had like a red,
a gray plastic
pencil that you'd write on.
It was almost like carbon paper.
Right.
And the front piece was gray.
And then you'd lift it up
and it would be erased.
It's still the fastest way to write and erase messages. It really is.
It probably works.
It's like William McKinley's Palm Pilot.
It's so old. So freaking old.
At least use Taft, Rob.
Somebody
a little.
Yeah, funny.
There you go.
So by the time Saturday rolls around, my wife has just had it with our non-communication.
I'm sure.
Even though we're together all the time and we're attempting to communicate.
Right.
So she says to me at one point, we should invite someone else to go to dinner with us.
Right.
Tonight, Saturday night, so that I don't have to just sit there and pass notes.
Sure. Right.
And he, like the sad clown, was just drawing the little tear from his eye because he could not
draw. John Constantino, he's such a sad clown. Johnny Constantino, such a sad clown.
It was like that Jackie Gleason movie, Gigio, or whatever.
Yeah, that's the only way I could communicate.
That is a funny reference.
My wife is that I would either like point on my chest,
right.
go heart you,
right.
All right, go point my eye, mm-hmm. heart you, right. And then when she would say, "I want to go out to eat with somebody else because I'm tired of this game that we play," I would have to make like the I'm sad,
the pouty lip,
such a sad Pagliacci Constantino.
So she says to me, "How about Robin Carey?"
Mm-hmm.
And I give her the thumbs up.
Because he knows that this man with the large head over here will give you an injection of happiness.
Yeah,
it's true. And Carrie can pick up the slack of the sun.
And we're in the car.
Love you.
We're in the car. We're having some work done to one of the cars. So we're driving in the car. And I punch Rob's phone number up on my phone. And I give it to my wife.
Now, I didn't know who we were calling.
2 minutes earlier, you had said to me, we should call Rob and Carrie to see if they want to go to dinner.
But you had just given me the sad clown look, so I didn't know if you wanted to be with other people since you couldn't talk.
But I'm not allowed to speak. So what I do is I just dial the phone and I give it to Frida, right? And then Frida, she says, what did she say to Carrie?
Well, it was our voicemail because Carrie was feeding the baby. And so this is the message, and I heard it. It was really funny. I should have saved it. It was, hi, Rob and Carrie. This is Frida, and I'm calling you, and I'm not sure why. And it seems we're inviting you to dinner.
Yeah, but he's doing the eating motion.
Sucks. Sucks not to have a voice.
It was great.
Absolutely sucks not to have a voice.
Yeah.
So we can figure it out.
That he was doing over the weekend was the Spider-Man motions.
Oh.
Which I got confused. It was like, he does that, like, web shooting out of your wrist motion.
I guess.
Yeah, right.
Which I was not familiar with. And also, the swinging from a web looks a lot like swinging a golf club.
I wanted to go see Spider-Man, but I didn't want to go at a time when everyone was going to go, so we wanted to go, like, Saturday morning. So here's what I did to my wife. I would make the
right, the Spider-Man.
And she would go, what, are you giving me the finger?
I thought it was, like, the bull sign, because he'd have his two fingers out.
I'd go like that. Then I would go.
He does have his two fingers out.
I would make the motion like I want to swing.
Now, I would interpret that as swinging a golf club, too.
I thought it was golf was bull, or I didn't know.
So finally I have to draw a picture of a spider.
Uh-huh.
And then she figures out, Spider-Man. Now this...
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. This absolutely killed me, not being able to talk.
Yeah.
Because
this is the... Now, see, hear the way you sound right now.
I loved Spider-Man so much.
Yeah.
I loved Spider-Man.
That's the picture
I drew, Rob.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much, and it killed me so much. Not to be able to run out of the theater and scream, I love Spider-Man. It is just like the comic book. It ain't like Batman. They didn't F it up like Batman and make it all gothic and make it all horrible and make it dark and everything. The broad looks just like Mary Jane. Tobey Maguire is an outstanding Spider-Man. I loved it so much. And even during the movie, I would tap Frida on the knee and she'd look at me and I would just go like this at my heart.
Love it.
Like,
I heart web slinger is what I was saying.
What is that a picture of, Mike?
What do you think?
Ken Stevens.
Are you talking about Spider-Man?
Peter Parker.
In comic books.
Oh, I know it is. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Well, I'm not a nerd.
No, and you're like with the rest of the country on this one, a mega, 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 mega blockbuster.
I loved it so much. I know I loved Batman when that movie came out, but this one, Spider-Man, is so much like the comic book.
This movie has been universally well received. It's getting great reviews, and people are running to it.
So we get out of the theater, and immediately I say to my wife, I go, you know, I give her the sign.
Right.
Give me a pen and a paper now. Now. And
I'm not hearing any comments from your wife regarding Spider-Man. I hear conspicuous silence.
I start writing on this piece of paper. I love Spider-Man.
Right.
I loved it. It was just like the comic book. I loved it. 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 And her only comment was, what did you say?
I said it was a good cartoon.
Yeah, it was a good cartoon. Totally.
Is that what it was?
Well, yeah, it was enjoyable.
That's what
Matt
Lauer
said. It was like watching an animated comic.
That is really like the indictment of a movie for somebody that's not trying to indict the movie.
Right.
Because I think Matt Lauer said a similar thing. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable, which is kind of a way of saying, you tolerate it if you're not really into the subject matter. And see, I'm deciding whether I want to waste the time to go see it.
If you ever read a Spider-Man comic book.
Never did.
And I read them all when I was a kid.
Right.
It is exactly like a comic book come to life. Mm. Exactly. 1,000,000%. The way he swings, the way he shoots his
glue. How does it compare to the last great movie, really popular movie, which was Superman, that was turned into a movie, the original with Christopher Reeves? Yeah. I mean, was it... break into laughter as soon as I mentioned a man that's in a wheelchair. With a breathing control.
Talk's fine.
He doesn't smoke cigars, I bet.
Oh, God. Well, Frida, if you could see the look of defeat on his face just now after you said that.
You know what? I got a lot of things wrong with me, but I'm telling you, the reason my voice is this way is not the cigars.
I'm just saying, does not help it.
And join the club, incidentally. I am not going to get a physical this year just because I'm terrified of what it would be. So many things inside and out.
You know, that's part of the deal I got with my wife, is that because I smoke cigars, I get 2 physicals a year.
Right.
And I get the kind where they put the swab in my mouth to make sure I don't got the mouth cancer.
Right.
Or anything like that. I do all of that. My lungs, fine. I got young lungs. I got the youngest lungs. I got like baby lungs.
You gotta calm down.
My lungs are so fresh.
All right, well, you can write me all those notes about how good you are.
All right, you know what it is? It is.
Can you be writing notes? The cigars have nothing to do with it.
It is simple laryngitis.
All right.
But when I go to see the doctor today, and it's
Dr. Joel.
Not to drop names, but the last guy he handled for this condition was...
That's pretty cool.
Billy Joel.
Yeah, but we talked... Sonny chews his cigars. That's what you told me.
Hey, can you do me a favor when you go see this guy?
Yeah.
Even if it's nothing really serious, do you think when we do nicotine and Joe Camel, do you think you could get the little things? Like maybe get
I'll ask him about them.
Ask him how much they cost and ask if we could get those. And if people that can speak.
The voice boxes.
Because, if we're ever going to do that bit really the way it should be done, we got to get those things.
Okay.
That'll make it really funny.
You got it.
Sorry.
It's a deal.
Very good.
Anyway.
As long as you don't have to get the surgery, too.
Well, that'd be a drag.
All right, sweetie. Love you. Thank you for helping me this weekend.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, baby.
Bye, sweetheart.
Right, goodbye.
See, now after listening to your wife, I'm not sure I want to go see it. Because I never did read the comic books, but everybody's talking about this movie, and I feel like I owe it to our public.
Looks like fun.
I think you would hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, I won't go see it.
Remember when you asked me about, what's the last movie you asked me about? Pollock.
Oh, you were so right about Pollock.
P.U.
Pollock couldn't suck enough. I fell asleep on the train watching Pollock, and then I watched the end of it because now it's on cable.
Yeah.
Well, what's that? I mean, I don't mind the art. In fact, I think he's a great artist. I do.
Oh, please, Pollock, the artist, you know what it is? It's like Forrest Gump being an artist. All it really is just him just throwing paint on a wall.
Well, no, but here's the way I look at it. I mean, and he explains this during the movie. You don't look at it like to see his interpretation of an image. You look at it like you would look at a sunset or you would look at anything else. You look at it, and it's just... It's a pretty design. I see. I'm into that. I'm down with that, homie. I understand
down
that.
With
I'm down with the Pollock. But what I didn't dig was the whole story. I mean, the fact is
Pollock's painting
Right.
Looks like,
I love Pollock's painting.
Pollock's paintings look like the ceiling of my apartment in, in Detroit.
Oh,
the
dear.
Bathroom
with covered with the goo.
If I shot out colored goo, that's what it looks like.
I looked at his paintings and I would say that would look fantastic on a wall in my apartment. I think that would be very, very cool. I like him from that standpoint. But the story,
Pollock,
the story and the whole overinterpretation, Pollock, the overinterpretation of it. I did not like the movie. So you called that one correctly. You're saying I would hate Spider-Man.
I don't think it's. Let me just.
Not my cup of tea. You know, if it's got those like. You know, computer-generated special effects. Well, Mike, you can have that.
How else are they going to make a guy climb up a wall?
I hate that. They haven't made any progress in that. They might say, those guys might J each other O and industrial light and magic.
Very
but
realistic.
I think that those things where it's like where you see the thing go...
It looks very realistic. You
really?
Believe a man can climb up a wall. You believe a man can shoot goo from his hand.
I think I'll go to some off-Broadway production.
Okay.
That's probably what I'll do.
Just let me say, and you know how crazy I was about Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And like Spider-Man, better than Batman.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Then is it the best movie you've ever seen?
You know, I had that discussion via writing stuff down with my wife. I think it might be.
Wow.
The best movie you've ever seen?
I'm still excited about it. Even like,
better than The Godfather?
Well, let me think.
Better
about
than
that.
Goodfellas?
Let me think about that.
I was doing that on the golf course over the weekend. We were talking about our top five,
mm-hmm.
and you got to take comedies out of it. You got to do just top five, you know, because it can't be because comedies I think deserve their own category.
That's right.
Sure.
Top five: Godfather, Goodfellas,
Joe Dirt,
Apocalypse Now, and Johnny Dangerously. And then you leave room for you know the two options, which would be Billy Madison.
Hey,
or
watch it.
Billy, but you don't like, that's the one you don't like, Billy Madison.
Son-in-law. I saw a coming attraction for the new Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
I am so ready to jump off the Adam Sandler bandwagon.
You about to admit that he's a one-trick pony?
A little tired.
Yes, how good were you, dear voices? And that's what I like about Adam Sandler.
Right.
When he plays the retard, like in The Waterboy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But this is another one like Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Another one of these where he's a rags-to-riches guy. He becomes a millionaire.
Yeah, that is that. You want to talk about an absolute phenomenon that guy ever got to be a success.
And there's a piece of ass girl who falls in love with him.
Right,
she's
right.
a reporter, and of course she finds out that really, even though he's got the money, he's got a heart of gold.
Sure,
he doesn't talk like a retard at all in the movie. And I was just looking at the ad, and I wrote down to Frida in the theater. This is one Adam Sandler movie I won't make you go see.
Watching on the train, I watched a DVD. This movie was nominated, I think, David Lynch for Best Director. Mulholland Drive. Which is effectively the most confusing movie yep. I have ever watched in my life. I watched it from start to finish. I don't understand it at the beginning, and I don't understand it at the end. With that said, I will tell you that it is, in my opinion, even though it is brief, it is the greatest lesbian encounter
Amen.
That I have ever seen in a film. I feel like Mr. Skin right now, but let me tell you something. David Lynch is so brilliant that you follow this one girl, the brunette around, with this tight red top, and you follow her, and all you are looking at least if you're a guy, Amen. You're looking at her breasts, and then the next scene, the clothes come off, and my God, I'm not really super into lesbian scenes. I like,
really?
I like man on top sex rather than the lesbian scene. Because I really enjoy watching the man. But I will tell you this. What this lesbian scene.
Best ever.
He gets you so worked up. If you just want to, what do you say, fast forward to the good parts?
Exactly.
Because this movie is so confusing. What you want to do is you want to speed it up to the part where she's wearing the red top and following the blonde around. And then the clothes come off and the breasts.
Get it just for that.
Oh. My. I have it. I will bring it in and show it to you. Because I got the little portable thing. I'll bring it in and show it to you tomorrow.
All right. That can't be an appropriate movie to watch on the train. Are you next to anybody?
No. It's the first movie I have ever watched on the train where I was doing the over.
Ma'am, look at
and
this.
I took the late train last night, so there's unfortunately very few people on the train.
Good.
But I was looking over my shoulder because, you know, those conductor guys,
yeah.
they love to ask about the movies.
They
first
do.
Of all, it's like you got the DVD player. You know, what is that? It's a DVD player. What are you watching? Do you like it? And they'll talk to you while you get the headphones on, too. So I'm figuring the last time I was watching my Earth, Wind, and Fire DVD, and Earth, Wind, and Fire had the long-legged girls come out, and they've got these hot girls that come out and dance while Earth, Wind, and Fire is playing. It's a nice little addition to their concert.
Right.
And so I had like three conductors that were around, you know, going, ooh, what's that? You know, and with this thing, they're just...
I mean, they're rubbing of the breasts and the whole nine yards, and it was so hot. But I found myself putting it on pause and tilting the screen down really low because I knew that if any of the conductors had come by, that would have stopped them in their tracks. Mulholland Drive, the best lesbian encounter. Not the most revealing, not the longest, but just
hot.
Pure heat.
In Spider-Man, there's a scene when Kirsten, what's that, Durst?
Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
I don't think she's got a big rack.
Oh, she's got a, oh my God, she's got one of the best racks in Hollywood.
Really?
Yes. Get her on the web. She's incredible.
There's a scene where, don't do it right this second, Rob. We got a break. There's a scene where she's wearing what is obviously a push-up bra.
Right.
Early in the movie.
I think she got the tiggle bitties.
But there's another scene. Anyone who saw Spider-Man can tell you, when she's standing in the rain and Spider-Man saves her from the four bad guys.
Right.
At one point, she's looking up at the sky and the rain's coming down on her.
Yeah.
Her nips.
Yeah.
Are so gigantic.
No, she's got, that's like one of her, I don't know whether they're fake or not. They probably are.
Are they real?
I think they might be fake.
I saw her in a cheerleader movie.
Yeah.
And she didn't appear to have.
No, I think she's got the store
jugs in that.
I think she's got, but I mean, if you look, you know, that's another reason why I hate to keep talking about Mr. Skin, but he would be the authority. He'd be able to tell you whether she got a boob job or not.
Hey, are we doing that Thursday, Lisa? Are we starting that Thursday? With Mr. Skin? Live, yeah.
Oh, no, we're going to have him online?
What we're going to do, rather than just have the Mr. Skin Minute every Thursday where we just play a tape, we're just going to have Mr. Skin on the show every Thursday.
Fantastic.
Starting this week so we can ask him about the movies.
Good.
And we can ask him about Kirsten Dunst's nipples and Mulholland Drive.
I never thought that I would say, you know, get one movie just for the skin scene, but I mean, the Mulholland Drive is just, oh,
this
my
is
God.
It.
And I want to know the name. I forgot the name of the actress, too.
I don't
know. Ann Miller's in it. Wow.
Hello,
wow.
Don Mike Show. Hello.
God damn.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, Don.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
And glad to hear you're feeling better. Mike, Buzz, Rob, Radio Gods, all. Don, I think you might have missed the boat with your wife. You had an opportunity all weekend to just smile and nod and pretend to be the good husband, and she wouldn't have been able to complain about anything. You could have just been.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, you find this hard to believe, and I felt the same way, too. But you know what? I found out I wanted to talk with her.
Right.
Well, yet, there was stuff you wanted to talk to.
You require constant communication. Mm-hmm. You're a communicator.
And with the Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
That rain scene? Oh, absolutely. They were coming out and cutting glass like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
But if you notice, before the rain really started coming down, they didn't show, so the rain actually, probably the cold water brought them out.
If you did the communicators on the show, the addicted to communication, you get Lisa, number one. I think you would be clearly number two. I'm not sure who between Buzz and Rob would be number three, but probably Rob.
I would think so.
Probably Rob number three, Buzz number four, and I'd definitely bring up the rear. You know, you'd find me, seriously, I would be like a decomposed body. If we had a vacation, yeah. I would be like a decomposed, because that's how much communication I do with people.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I do my own thing in secret.
Hello.
Hey, Don, what do you think of the Hulk preview?
It was okay, but I mean, they're promoting already a movie that's not even coming out till next summer.
Who's going to be the Incredible Hulk?
Some guy I never heard of, some dude who was in that Black Hawk Down.
It's not going to be Ferrigno?
No.
Well, then what the hell's the point? He's still in good shape. They could bring him back.
He could play the Hulk's father.
We have to... We have to break.
At go time.
877-365-3636. That's the toll-free number now. We are going to give away the money this week with the celebrity burp.
Whatever.
Well, I think I already know who it is.
Do you really?
Yes. It's Lou Ferrigno.
It is not Lou Ferrigno. Rob, what is the jackpot down to?
I believe we're at...
$400?
No, it's higher than that. Isn't it?
I think it's 8 or 7.
8 or 7.
We are a well-oiled machine. We'll figure out that number because somebody might call us on it.
So let's make it 6.
$650.
No, I think it's $700.
Okay.
It's either $700 or $800, and I'm going to start giving away killer clues now.
Okay, very good.
Killer clues.
Now don't scream like that. You see, when you say you go into the DJ mode.
Okay.
Killer clues.
Killer clues.
There you go.
Of course, Bruce. Wait, Batman. Call 100 right now, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I was amused to read that Ross...
David, let me go in the shape. We are on the air.
The Don and Mike Show. Don't listen if you're fuzzless behind the zipper. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's go. Call 100. We're going right here. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
4100?
Yes, hi. What's your name, my friend?
Excuse me?
What's your name, sir?
My name is Mark.
Mark, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bridgewater, New Jersey.
Listen, Mark, you've won something.
Something good.
Here you go, Mike.
Thank you.
There you go.
Mike O'Mara will now tell you what you won, Mark.
Mike.
Are you there, Mark?
Yes,
right now.
Just in time for Mother's Day right now. You've won a gift certificate valued at $195 to Milagro D Spa, located at the Atlantic Club in Manasquan in Red Bank, New Jersey. Your day, did I say that right, sir?
Yes.
Manasquan?
I think so.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
Well, you're calling from New Jersey, right?
Yeah, but I don't live in Jersey. I'm just driving a truck in Jersey.
Oh, you're driving a truck. Where do you live?
I live in Philadelphia, PA.
Oh, Philadelphia. Your day will include a workout, massage, facial, manicure, wash, blow dry, and makeup application.
You gotta love that.
For more info, visit www.milagrospa.com.
You're driving a truck.
All right, there we go.
All right, thank you, Mike.
You're gonna give me a little time, of course, Bruce.
And that you are.
I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to shoulder a little of the load that's normally handled here. I'm not a real big reader, as Don will tell you.
We have researched and found out that the jackpot, in fact, is $700.
$700 American dollars.
$700. Celebrity burp number 2, mm-hmm. And this one is going to give it away.
You're going to give us the defining clue right now?
I've already told you, she is incredibly sexual.
Beautiful on the inside and out.
100% all woman. Mm-hmm.
Sexy mouth.
Over 40.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy mouth. Let me now also say, hot, hot dancer. Mm-hmm. A hot dancer.
Wow.
You got it?
I got it.
Okay, I'll play it for you now. Good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
Yeah. There it is. Even though I know I'm not supposed to really project with my voice, let me just say that my larynx is hard.
Your larynx?
My...
Your larynx?
Yes.
Your larynx.
My larynx.
Larynx.
My larynx is hard as a rock.
Your larynx is hard for this woman?
Yes.
Wow.
For $700, who is it?
It's got to be Leah Remini.
We're sorry.
I thought I could get through the first show back from our little break there without getting mad at somebody.
We've said it a thousand times.
God.
It was nobody from King of Queens. Right. Thank you, though, supreme absolute dumbass. And don't forget that every guest
is a sort of a clue for you.
So,
dancer, hot dancer.
Yeah, that threw me.
You'll get it. They'll all make sense when you know the answer.
Over 40.
This weekend with the laryngitis.
Right.
And keep in mind, Mike said to me during the break, he said, how do you feel? I said, I feel fine.
I said, does it hurt? Because it sounds like it hurts.
No, yeah, it does.
It doesn't hurt at all.
Good.
And that's what's frustrating about this is that I feel absolutely fine.
Right. And there's no rawness or anything in your throat?
I don't have a sore throat. I don't have a fever. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Good.
There was a reunion this weekend for a station that Buzz and I worked at in Chicago.
WBBM.
Yeah, WBBM-FM, B96. Mm-hmm. And being as I couldn't talk, I figured, really, what's the point?
Yeah, it's true.
What's the point of going...
Well, that would have killed you, too. I mean, those things are, you know, lots of crowded cocktail parties where everybody's screaming and catching up.
And what am I going to do? Walk around with a notepad? You know, I'm having to go through hell and earth with my wife to try to, you know, the magic slate.
Right.
I'm going through hell and earth with my wife. Imagine me in a room with 100 people.
Well, it was a radio station reunion, so you could have communicated non-verbally.
Buzz, however, did go.
I did.
And brought me back a nice little packet.
Yeah, we all got a sort of a memorabilia packet of pictures and notes from people, that kind of thing.
So tell me what happened.
Let me borrow from your wife's movie review and say it was enjoyable.
Okay, so...
No, oh, really?
Buzz, tell the truth.
I am telling the truth. That is the truth.
So it sucked.
It didn't suck. It was nice. It was nice to see everybody.
No.
Well, that's kind of what I said.
Yeah.
In fact, I think a number of people there were sort of disappointed. I think we had certain expectations for this reunion.
Well, everyone's gotten a bit older.
Well, now, Buzz,
exactly.
Why don't you just spare us the time and trouble and tell us really what really went on and what you really thought, please?
Very little went on, and I thought it was nice.
Now, translated, that means you thought it sucked.
No, not really. It was very pleasant.
Maybe I can make it easier on you.
It was enjoyable.
By asking your... expectations going in? Do you think, I mean, obviously you wouldn't have headed out there unless you thought it was going to be a real good time.
Well, no, and I wanted to
you,
see
I know you,
again.
And you're now, but you but are yes. a guy that doesn't put the effort forward unless you think it's going to have, you know, good times for Buzz.
I and other people expected debauchery.
Right.
At 11:30 p.m., the last people said goodnight and left.
Wow.
I mean, so this was the introductory cocktail party. Was this going to be a one-nighter anyway?
Cocktails, let's see, cocktails were at 5 at the radio station. So it was kind of, it brought back great memories to go back to the old building.
Right.
And
see, that to me is
begin
a
to see some people
right
there.
That's, I mean, it's radio station's a radio station.
I know.
But Mike, it was our home for a long time, so I would have liked to have gone back there as well.
A very long time to see it.
It just seems to me you're starting off on the wrong foot.
They have real studios there now, which was impressive and nice to see, and we wished we had those when we were there. But after a few beers there, then we went on to the restaurant, the Palm, which you would have loved, you would have enjoyed. It's now in a different location, by the way. They moved it.
Oh, it's in the Swiss Hotel, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, that had to be an exciting new experience.
Oh, was it ever.
And listen, the thing is, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I would have expected from the B96 reunion.
Okay.
And you tell me if I would have been disappointed.
All right, I will.
Now, back in the day, 20 years ago,
right,
when we worked at this radio station.
I was thumbing through some of the pictures that Buzz brought back. That looks like, seriously, it looks like that could be fresh out of the Johnny Depp movie Blow.
Yeah. Everybody.
I mean, it really does. You all look like you're all basically waiting at the airport for the kilos to come in.
We all
I mean, it really does.
Yeah, we all partied pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Now, I would imagine, it was my expectation.
Okay.
It's 20 years later.
Right.
Nobody parties like they did back then.
Very true.
However, I would have at least expected a wild out, full on, bombed.
Yeah.
Let's get drunk and let's talk about how much we hated Buddy Scott, the program director. Mm-hmm. Let's get bombed to talk about who's gay, and let's get bombed to talk about who used to bang who. But was there any of that?
No, there really wasn't, and you would have been disappointed. You would have added a lot to the party. I'm serious. We could have used you.
What do you have for dessert? Buddy Scott's enlarged heart.
No,
served with Cherry's Jubilee.
We didn't. We did hear about his new wife and his new baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This guy, Buddy Scott, he looks like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Whoa, there you go. Get on my belly.
I've seen him heavier. He's not as big as he was, but he's still a big guy. Buddy Scott was there. John Scott, Karen Hand, Dave Robbins, Steve.
He carries it well, though. I saw pictures of him. I mean, it's not like he's sloppy fat.
Yeah, no, that's true. No,
you can hide it if you dress well.
It's a toned fat.
That's right. And he knows how to dress. But seriously, there was none of that. There were some people who didn't even drink at all. I felt out of place having a martini.
Was,
Really? Yeah.
Has the gay guy come out of the closet yet?
I think everybody knows.
Well, that's like other places we've worked at.
Does he acknowledge it now, though?
I don't think so to everybody, but, you know, to the people who were closest to him, I guess.
Did he acknowledge it to you?
Yeah. I mean, What did he say?
Hey, Buzz, I suck D.
No, he. Some people shake hands. He shook something else when he saw Buzz.
Yeah, that's how I knew.
How did he acknowledge it with you?
Some years ago, I think he mentioned it to me. You know,
really?
Yeah. I mean, and
as an invitation,
I could. You know, it was one of those things where you kind of guessed it anyway, so you weren't terribly surprised when you got
everybody
the confirmation.
Everybody knew this guy.
Right.
Well, I'll show you his picture, Mike. Hold on.
Right.
At any time during the weekend, Buzz, did you visit Dick Biondi's grave?
No.
I don't want to say the guy's name, because the guy is currently working in radio at a big radio station.
Oh, God. Like, you couldn't tell?
He wasn't there. I thought you were talking about someone else.
Well, hey, maybe we're going to have a revelation right here on the show.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So this guy, who you know is a fag,
he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Gary Spears wasn't there. Kevin Mishek wasn't there. Brian Pusilano wasn't there. So there were three people I was really looking forward to seeing who didn't show.
Oh, wow. Well, write down the name of the person. Oh, do you mean...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, please.
Yeah, but like I said, everybody...
So the guy you're talking about wasn't a big player anyway, so it didn't matter.
No, here's the other guy. I mean, that guy...
Like, that's not obvious either.
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said you kind of...
It's all about the way you carry yourself.
But I thought you were talking about the DJ.
You know, it really is, though, about the way you carry yourself, the way you walk, the way you talk. That's why people have never been able to figure me out.
That's right.
I cannot believe it.
Keep them guessing.
The party was over at 11:30.
11:30, everybody said, we're old, we're tired, we're going home, good night.
Boy, that's tough when you fly halfway across the country to deal with that crap.
And one of the guys had been there with his wife, they were there like 6 days, which I can't imagine. I mean, Chicago's a wonderful place, but... all surrounding this reunion, only for it to last, what, 4 hours, and then everybody went home.
Did anybody else say, this sucks?
No, nobody actually came right out and said that. And it didn't suck. It just wasn't good the way we expected it to be. There was no debauchery.
I frankly think when you get past your high school 10-year reunion,
right,
every other reunion is going
to
suck.
Well, I've heard the high school reunion suck, and I
well, you know, my 10-year was great because 10 years, you still know the people well enough. You get to the 25th, the 50th, right, you know, there's some of these redo 50th. Right.
But Mike, this is,
how was that?
This was a very...
Mine was great.
This was a very close-knit group
but, you know,
of
matter
people.
How, but no matter how close-knit it is, I mean, you will admit that those kind of things, which I've had experience with, they normally are just a disappointment because you expect you're going to get 90% of the time, you know, you realize it's like every other radio station where there may be one or two people that you like a lot,
right,
but the rest of them you hate and you don't have anything in common with. And then you all go back like, hey, how have you been? And then in 5 seconds you realize, I hate you.
It was good to see
but
some
you
of
know
the
what?
People.
We really didn't hate each other, though.
No. No.
I mean, everybody there.
So you like 90% of the people you worked with?
At that, yes. As I go through the pictures here, yes.
Yeah. Really?
We thing. Were a uniquely... Mike, really? Really, don't look at me in that tone of voice.
Who are you talking to?
We were a uniquely close group.
Well, like, for example, when we worked at WAVA in the early days of WAVA, that is, you know, that's the same kind of situation where I would say we liked most of the people we worked with, but if we went back now, it would just be, you know, I could list the names for you and say, if you're in a room with these people for a long period, but if they're not partying, then there's no fun.
Well, there were great stories, great reminiscences, including the Brian Pusilano story about him urinating in the lobster tank at the Palm in Chicago.
That's when we had a good ratings book.
Know, that's everybody's favorite story, but right, there were a lot of great stories. It was good to see people, but toward the end of the evening, I think somebody asked Buddy, are we going to do this again in 20, you know, for 25 years? And he said no. You know, so I think that, you know, pretty much closed the book.
It's
on the reunion.
Kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, it really was.
I saved some money, though.
You did. You saved, $600 easily.
Wow. Okay.
Is Patty there?
She was in town, but she wasn't at the actual reunion.
And Patty would be...
But Frank's wife, Tammy, showed up, so...
Who's Patty?
To see. Patty is Dave Robbins' wife. A very nice guy.
Are these the hottie wives?
These are...
Don,
you
know, why are you bringing her up?
Okay.
You made it real clear with that one. I was just wondering why you mentioned her specifically.
And maybe the saddest thing...
Woman of larger carriage?
No.
No?
No.
Well, what's her deal? What's the dilly, yo?
Listen, these are my friends, and
right?
Her husband works for this company. Mm-hmm.
Jot down why you mentioned her specifically. What would be her number one characteristic?
Her great
that what makes her a standout? What makes you, Don Geronimo, ask about her specifically? Because I must know.
And then I'll tell you about
you've had a lot of practice at writing notes over the weekend. So. You want to qualify it? I'm looking forward to I never look forward to getting to know more.
He wants to be accurate and careful at the same time.
See what the deal is.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll tell you about the most successful guy at the party.
Really?
Yeah.
Like as far as females?
No, just successful in life.
All right.
That's...
Oh. Oh, really?
Right, am I right, Buzz?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
The way I've written the description of her?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the other guy that you're talking about, Frank.
Right.
Is he the born-again guy?
I don't know if he's or not. He owns radio stations in Colorado.
He was
the promotions guy when we worked there.
He was born again when we worked there.
Really? Now, who was the most successful guy at the party?
The most successful guy? I don't even know.
The most successful guy wasn't there, Mike.
You're right about that.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So in your absence...
This is one of the biggest
thank
things
you, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Don Geronimo writes,
thank you, everybody.
In your absence, the most successful guy is a guy you probably don't even remember. He was an intern for Karen and I. His name was Bob. Still is Bob. And Bob is a beer vendor at Wrigley Field. And that was the saddest part, is that he's more successful than all of us.
What did Bob do when you were at the radio station?
He was an intern in the newsroom.
Yeah, what is it with these interns that go on to...
Wait, hold on. He's a beer vendor at Wrigley Field.
A beer vendor and maybe luckier than all of us.
But I mean, like, he owns the concession, or is he a beer vendor like he walks up and down the aisle?
I know he walks the aisles, whether or not he has ownership.
Well, Jesus, then he doesn't own the concession.
Then he doesn't have the best job.
I thought you said he was a beer vendor, like he controlled. So he's a guy, hey, get your beer here.
He works in the summer at Wrigley Field,
okay,
and he spends his winters in Jamaica.
Really?
Yeah, and owns his own home.
You know what?
I mean,
see,
it's paid for. It's funny how you measure success.
For Buzz, dropping out of society.
Right, exactly.
And being able to live on a beach six
Absolutely.
Months a year.
Got the soles
for Buzz,
on my shoes.
That is the most successful
I forgot
guy.
We're dealing with the recap from Forget Your Troubles, Come On, Get Happy over
Sit
here.
Sit in a tree and learn to play the flute.
Perhaps not the,
right.
not the type of
not
thing
the
you
measure
and I
of
were
success,
thinking. Like,
right.
You know, how far has the guy progressed in
right.
his career?
Absolutely.
What has he done?
He spends the winters in Jamaica when he's not hawking beer at Wrigley.
He's very wealthy.
That's good. He's very wealthy.
Does very well.
He's
yes.
not very wealthy.
He sells beer at Wrigley Field.
You can't be wealthy if you're a beer vendor.
Talk to Bob.
Maybe he sells imported beer.
Does he have his bio here?
No, he's not in there. In fact, he was kind of a surprise show at the end of the evening.
I bet he was. What time did the game end?
Selling drinks.
Let me see. You're right. I can't find him.
Yeah, no, he's not in there.
Famous people, you know, they don't like to advertise.
So were you considered, it sounds to me, with the no-shows, that you were you a major star?
Well, I guess,
there?
Yeah.
Were you treated like a major star?
As far as air personalities go, yeah, and I was treated very nice.
Were there any hotties? Did anybody, like, married anybody cute? Were there any attractive women there?
There were no hotties at the party.
No hotties at all?
None whatsoever.
God, you know, even one hottie will make a party.
You're yeah, right.
That's true.
Like that lady from Mulholland Drive.
Could have used that.
Oh, my God.
Want to hear Buzz's bio?
Yes, please.
This is, by the way, now I have to tell you, this is partly written for Buddy Scott's benefit. That's why I wrote what I wrote the way I wrote it.
So this is your bio that's inside the
reunion
pamphlet.
What's your career right. been since B96? Right. Here's what I wrote.
Family, spouse, etc. Still with my wife, Marcia, going on 27 years, two cats, Max and Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
Career since B96.
Right.
First 7 months of painful unemployment. Followed by 2 years of living hell in upstate New York, followed by a dream to die for career as the newsman on the nationally syndicated Don and Mike show.
Oh, that's nice.
As Buzz Burbank, I've been in D.C. for nearly 11 years now.
Right,
that's
right.
wonderful.
And
very
I think
nice, Buzz.
I think Buddy got the message because there were more than once during the evening he mentioned the several times he's been mentioned on this show. You know that he either heard it or it got back to him, and he portrayed it in such a way that he has in fact been wounded by the things we've said. So it worked.
I guess I.
Do you have a bio in there?
I'm glad I did.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, he does.
Can I read yours?
let me find it.
In my never-ending quest to spare your throat. It sounds better if somebody else reads it.
Yeah, but mine is like serious radio guy stuff.
Very serious, yes.
Like it's a J.O. session.
But it's all true.
You could have written for that NBC special last night.
Oh, God, was that.
Start
awesome.
With the address. All right. Family, spouse, etc. Wife, still Frida, coming in August, our 21st anniversary. Son, Bart, age 17, finishing junior year of high school. Career since B96. Afternoons, WAVA DC through November of 85. Mornings on WAVA DC, 1985 to 90, where the career really took off when he met legendary radio performer.
Now, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Mike.
Mornings, WAVA DC, 1985 to 1990. Wow, the next page.
Yes.
Yes.
Afternoons, WJFK DC, 91 to 2001, present. Syndicated via Westwood 1, 1996. Washington Redskins Radio Network pregame show, 1997 to the present. Middays,
yeah.
WJFK, August 2000 to present. Current Don and Mike show affiliate total, 58 major markets, including WJFK Washington, WNAW New York, WYSB Philadelphia, KQBZ Seattle, KUFO Portland, KYCY San Francisco, WJFK and Baltimore, KHTK Sacramento, KFMS Las Vegas, named program director, WJFK DC, August 2000 to the president. Other thoughts? Still on radio. Update 5202. Dave, damn, I am disappointed. My doctor confirmed today I have severe laryngitis, or larynxitis, and cannot speak at all for 5 days at the risk of real long-term damage. I'm off the air TFN and obviously can't attend a reunion where I can't speak. Mike Buzz Elston will still attend and attempt to pass on my regards to all. So sorry this happened. I was really looking forward to getting together with everyone. Not to mention this whole non-talking thing is a drag. I'm having to run WJFK via IMs. That's the first real radio thing in there.
Yeah,
I'm having to run WJFK via IM.
Wow.
Of course, Bruce.
Have a great time. Pass along my very best wishes. I'm sure Mike Buzz will have lots of great stories for me when he gets back. Talk to you soon. Best, Geronimo. There's a reason I wanted to read that.
But you're missed. Everyone asked about you, of course.
But thanks for your best.
Of course, Bruce. Well, it sounds like it was a real bummer.
It wasn't that bad. It just wasn't as strong as we were hoping it would be. And I wasn't the only one who was hoping for more debauchery.
Who organized it? Buddy Scott organized the whole thing?
Actually, he had little or no part in it. It was more Dave Robbins and a couple other guys.
Was it a profit-sharing scheme? Did you have to pay money to get there? And then, like, the DJs all split it up later?
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to work.
Yeah. Well, I think we should have a WAVA reunion.
Oh, well, let's just go to the cemetery.
Not that bad.
Place flowers.
Most of the people are dead.
We'd have some great guys.
Dead work there.
You'd have Mike Beach to start with.
Hey, darling.
You'd have Mike Beach, Shadow Smith.
Gene Baxter.
TK Tom Kent.
Jim Elliott.
Chuck Beck.
Who's the girl that got her face bitten by the dog?
T.J. Wright.
T.J. Wright. Captain Fogel.
Hey!
Captain Fogel.
And your engineering staff.
And all the... Who's the
Nick
guy...
Nick Rosenoff.
Who's the guy who had...
Marie Rakowski.
Who's the guy who happily told us he had a sexually transmitted disease?
That would be J.R. Russ.
The overnight guy?
J.J. Russ, sometimes known as J.R. Russ.
One morning, Mike and I come into work. This guy did the overnight show.
All right.
We walk in the studio at 5:30, and the first thing the guy says is...
Hey, I got the clap.
Good morning.
All happy about it.
All excited.
Because, like, he was, you know, one of those guys that just didn't get a lot of women. So he's thrilled with the idea that he had contracted a venereal disease.
A badge of honor.
Not quite sure where that came from, but that's the way he felt about it.
And don't forget Frank Murphy.
He doesn't need to come.
Oh, wait, Frank Murphy?
Frank, every now and then somebody does something to you in your career, and this was something Frank did to me that Don knows that I won't go into on the air, but Frank did it to me when I was making a trip back from the Super Bowl, and I will never forget that. I think it's about the lowest thing, you know, that I'd ever heard of, and I hate Frank from that day forward.
Scum sucker. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mr. Good Boy. Mr. Mass Every Day. Mr. Good Catholic Boy.
A pox on him.
Amen.
A pox on him. I hope that he was effed up the A by the Reverend Law from Boston when he was a kid.
Wow. Sure.
Truly, I do. Based just on what he did to Mike.
Yeah.
Based just on that.
Wow.
God, I hope that Father Law asked his D every day. Francis Doherty, come on in.
Oh, there you go, Francis. Okay, we're all ready for your daily confession.
Okay, we are going to break now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I've got to tell you, today was just what I needed. Thanks a lot, Harry.
Well, it was my pleasure, Mary.
So you'll pick me up tonight at 7:45?
Oh, well, no, I got a few things to take care of first, but why don't we make it 7:45?
Stop it.
Okay, 7:45.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Damn right.
Like a five-star BJ. The Don and Mike program.
Let me just say, without getting into great detail, that this week on the show, we got lots of stuff to give away. We have lots of Mother's Day stuff.
Ah, yes, mothers.
To give away. We will be trying to do the craziest mom contest this week.
Yes, and that's a wonderful idea.
And not only does they have to be in person, but you can also call in if your mom is crazy.
And you tell us a story about how crazy your mom is, what your mom's done.
We have to speak to the mom.
We have to have the mom on the phone.
The craziest mom contest,
right?
We've got to actually talk to the craziest mom.
So this will be a long-distance contest as well, as if you want to simply wheel your mom in.
Right. Also, this week, something else to do with mothers. I'll tell you about that in a couple of seconds. Forgot to mention when I was talking about Spider-Man that we went on all these websites, and you guys are right about Kirsten.
Kirsten Dunst has Dunst. Kirsten Dunst.
She has great teats.
And Rob and I were looking closely. We didn't get enough pictures, but I would say that they are real. I would think they look like they could be real.
And she's so young.
But I talked to somebody. I forgot who I talked to out in Los Angeles one time that told me nobody has real ones out there. I read an article about it where it would blow you away.
I saw her on Letterman last week,
right
before the movie came out, and she appeared to be flat-chested.
Right.
Though it might have been the outfit she was wearing.
Right.
She might be one of those girls who straps them down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, when she takes the bra off, it's like, wow, what a surprise.
Well, I have heard that, you know, in Los Angeles, you'd be amazed how many women have, you know, fake ones.
Sure.
Halle Berry was one that was like a total shocker to me.
Yeah.
The Halle Berry has had a boob job.
She didn't get enough.
I saw her. I like that because then you don't know. Then you're questioning it all the time.
I saw her in Swordfish.
And Mira Rob.
I saw her in Swordfish. Everybody saw that, right?
Yeah, she's had a boob job. That's what I heard.
She needs more.
I mean, there was an article or something on the web one time about who's had them and who hasn't.
All I know is when you if you go to see Spider-Man,
right.
Look at the scene when Spider-Man saves her and she looks up and she got the gigantic nips.
See, I don't like the super fake ones. And I think the bigger you go, like if you go with Rob, Charlotte Ray.
Yeah, really.
Charlotte Rays are all real, Rob.
And it's really about Charlotte Ray.
Yeah.
Really great seeing the cast of Facts of Life together last night during the NBC 75th. We're going to J-O all over ourselves show.
The NBC.
The news stations. I saw this before we left D.C. Channel 7. In Washington, gets the prize.
Are you talking about blowing the forecast?
No. Because it sweeps.
Right.
You know how they do the stories like...
The air you breathe could kill you. Details at 11. Right.
Here's the one that I saw yesterday. Coming Monday night on Channel 7 News at 6. Girl bullies.
Wow.
They showed these right. these little girls walking down the street like wearing their Catholic girl uniforms, and they were just looking mean. It's like,
girl bullies.
Is your child being beaten up by girl bullies?
Girl bullies tonight.
And Channel 9,
right
up here in New York, UPN 9.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
here's theirs. How to tell someone they have bad BO.
Oh, God.
Wow. So they're pulling out all the stops.
Filthy restaurants on Channel 4.
For the...
That's, you know, that is a difficult thing to do, though.
Yeah.
Because I worked with a disc jockey one time where the whole staff was actually freaked out by this guy. And, at one point, the general manager called the guy in and had to sit him down to talk about his odor. And I got news for you. It wasn't coming from his armpits.
Oh.
It was ass odor?
Yeah. It was like, you know... Not exactly lingering with the bathroom habits.
Buzz, you were telling me. Buzz told me so much about this B96 reunion during the break.
Pretty heavy duty stuff. Sounds to me like just a saga of tragedy at the B96 party.
I mean, people dying, people having cancer,
near death experience.
But the funniest thing I thought was the guy who was our program director, Buddy Scott.
Yes,
he is now, as we've mentioned on this show,
he's a consultant.
He's like one of the muckety mucks at Clear Channel,
and he's a group program director.
He
right?
oversees something like 100 radio stations,
120 maybe in the southeast.
So tell everybody what Buddy said.
Well, and Buddy's from the south and has a slight lisp. So, and if you've heard this voice before, you'll recognize it because he's the guy who talks like, "Well, I'll be honest with you." And somebody asked him at one point. They said, "Wow, 120 stations. That sounds like really hard work, Buddy." You know, if there was ever a setup question, that was it. And to which he responded, "Nah, it's easiest job I ever had in my life." Because I just blow into town, punch the stations up on the radio, and listen to them for a few minutes. And they said, "Well, how do you, you've got to visit all these stations, how do you remember all the names?" He goes, "I got a cheat sheet. Each piece of paper has the name of the station, the format, its dial position, and, the name of the program director and his phone number. And I listen for a few minutes and give him a call, but I don't know what to tell him."
There you go.
Buddy Scott.
Yeah, that's your supervisor at work.
Jesus Christ.
He makes almost as much money as the beer vendor.
Unbelievable.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, speak to us.
Hello.
Me.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Don and Mike, Buzz, you guys are great.
Thanks.
Big fan. I've been like listening to you guys for like 10 years from Tampa, Florida when I lived down there, but now I'm up in PA, York.
Oh, you're the guy that listened to Tampa.
You're the one.
I was that guy. I won all the contests.
Right.
Did you guys hear Ozzy said the F word on Leno and I got through the air?
Well, now listen, you're not the first person to tell me this. I heard this over the weekend.
Thursday night.
And here's why I don't believe it. Jay Leno doesn't do a live show.
Right. No, I mean, they actually edit his show completely.
Jay Leno's on tape.
But I was sitting there on the bed, and I hear it. My wife's asleep, and, Sharon goes, "Did you just say condom?" And he goes, "I didn't effing say condom." And it's like totally came out
completely, and it was dead silent.
Although, you know, the thing that makes me wonder...
Of course, with Ozzy, the way Ozzy speaks, you could probably think he said something, and he really didn't.
This is why I don't think they bleeped it out.
This is the third guy now, two guys in real life, and one guy now on the radio saying that they heard the F word. And when the other guys told me, I said, there's no way, because Jay Leno's on tape.
Right.
If Ozzy said F... It wouldn't have been there.
No,
hold on. John is IMing me. It was in the New York Post this weekend. He's looking for the article. All right.
That he really did say the F word.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, how the hell does that happen when they're taping
it? The censors couldn't understand him.
Right.
That's probably what it was.
I think that's it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you watch the show on MTV, half of what Ozzy says is unintelligible anyway.
Right. You know what's a pisser about that? I'm going to say something about the Osbournes as well. That
talk about ridiculous overexposure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
I understand the show's hot, but give me a goddamn break. Well, I mean, Mike. Well, I mean, we just have such a lack of anything that's good anymore.
You are not going to have to worry about it much longer,
mm-hmm.
because this week, it's the final episode.
Right.
I mean, it's like The Sopranos, or it's like Sex and the City.
Right.
I've liked The Osbournes since the first time I saw it.
Right, right.
And I'm trying to back off a little bit, because it's so overhyped.
Yeah, I mean, and you, in fairness to you, you came on a long time ago and talked about
but
it.
But I love it.
Right.
I mean, I am addicted to the show.
But hey, remember, you didn't invent the show.
and who did, Mike?
I don't know. A guy that invented a lot of things.
Yeah.
I know. The same guy that invented air.
Whoever that is.
Right.
That's a great man, whoever that is. Whoever invented the Osbournes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm watching it, and they're saying next week on the season finale of the Osbournes. And it's like, I'm looking at the TV going, you son of a bitch.
Right.
You bastards. You get a show, and what do they have? How long has it been on? 2 months?
Yeah.
Something that, like that?
It's like nothing.
Like eight episodes?
Right.
Ah, killed me.
I found that Post article, by the way.
And?
It says, a forbidden expletive starting with F eluded NBC censors and made it onto the air on The Tonight Show.
Wow.
It says there the bleeps were just as numerous, 14 bleeps according to some counts during his appearance, but apparently they missed one.
Well, someone should have used the F word last night during the NBC 75th anniversary show.
Yeah.
Because that was the big, thank you, Johnny. John's got the story here, too. That was the biggest effing train wreck that I have ever seen. Anything that didn't happen before the year 1980,
right,
was pretty much ignored
mm-hmm.
by NBC.
Sure.
And it was really interesting to me, the hierarchy of who got placed where,
right,
and who got the final word.
Who was like the, was Cosby the most revered, or?
Johnny.
Johnny was,
but he didn't show.
Yeah, right. Johnny got the last.
Johnny was a no-show. That's so cool. Johnny is the coolest.
He is,
yeah.
Still is.
Johnny Carson got the last spot.
Right. You know, and there's still, you know, we talked about it last week, about Johnny trying to come on the show and telling him to go scratch when, you know, the fact is that they're just still trying to suck the blood out of Johnny to get him back.
Right.
And what I found great about it was that when, for instance, they had Martin Short on, who normally is a mildly funny guy.
Mm-hmm. And you emphasize the word mildly.
He was doing that thing that he does where he really overdoes the show business. Like,
was he bending from the waist and like hunching his shoulders over and doing little dance?
Johnny Broadway. He was running up and down the aisles, and he started this montage of NBC people singing theme songs. As this is going on, while they were singing the songs, they would, for instance, get a shot of Kelsey Grammer and his wife.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they don't get enough exposure.
And they would appear to be bored out of their minds until they see themselves on the monitor.
And then it's like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Oh, joy.
And that was happening constantly during the show. And the guy, Jeff Zucker,
mm-hmm.
the guy who used to run the Today Show, who now runs all the programming for NBC, was sitting there, this fat little bald guy. I don't give a rat's ass if he beat cancer. Good for him. He beat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean the guy still is not a prick. The guy is sitting there with his arms folded as if all of these people are performing for him.
Yeah. He's sitting there like a Superman.
He never broke a smile.
Like Hail Caesar.
He never bothered to wave. He never bothered to shake hands.
Right.
Just this little, short, pudgy, bald, Charlie Stossel looking
and
guy.
And wasn't it just a, like, an ass kissathon. Isn't that all it was?
Yes.
How great are we?
Yes. Yeah. NBC, we're the greatest. They brought out the cast of the Cosby Show.
Huzzah.
And that, you know, that's well, I saw them interviewed on the Today Show last week.
It's like, all right.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Which was okay.
And what's with Cos? Cos got the dead eye.
He's old
Regan Ray. He got the dead eye happening.
He's like 87 now.
Right. You know what they did to him that was great?
What?
They brought Robert Culp up.
Right.
And
they got
the guys from I Spy.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, Robert Culp starts doing...
Still a cool show if you go back and look at it.
He starts doing some bit, and Cosby just starts going... And all they do is just faded it out.
Yeah, yeah.
They just faded it out and went... NBC's 75th anniversary will be right back.
What's funny is that when I saw the Cosby Show being interviewed by Katie Couric, and, you know, it's all Cos himself, really.
Sure.
No one else really getting a chance to answer the question. So they would do the cutaways, and you would hear Cosby telling a story, and they would show, like, the older daughter. And, I mean, just this look of total chagrin, where she's not enjoying his story and just tolerating Cos. The tension on that little group where they have to go out. I think Bill has not necessarily turned himself into a sweet, genteel old man. I think he might be just a tad curmudgeon-y.
Angry old guy.
And
Jerry was there, of course.
Right.
Jerry Seinfeld was getting his ass kissed a lot.
Right.
They had very small clips of Letterman from what I could see.
Right.
But every time I looked at the crowd, it was like, Rue McClanahan or
George Wendt,
the Facts of Love. Yeah, George Wendt and the mailman from
Was Shelley Long there?
I didn't see her.
I just saw the mailman and the fat guy from Cheers.
Yeah, Cliff.
Yeah.
Don Adams was there.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, he looks great.
Get Smart an NBC show?
Yes, it was.
Wow. And so was Barbara Eden.
Oh.
Coincidentally.
Barbara Feldon.
No, Barbara Eden.
Oh, Barbara. Jeannie was there?
I Dream of Jeannie.
Was Barbara Feldon there, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think I spotted Hagman. And, Mike, this might change what you do. He was wearing yellow sunglasses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary. That's so sad.
You might want to watch it.
Hey, Jeannie.
But here's what it was. They had all of the old people who were not allowed to actually be on the show.
All the people they bust in.
Yeah. They were sitting in this front part, and they would be sitting next to, for instance, Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live, and
of course
all of the jokes and all of the singing were done by Saturday Night Live members.
Of course they were.
Will Ferrell.
Let's just get the workhorse out there.
It'd be Will Ferrell sitting there singing something, and sitting next to him would be I Dream of Jeannie, and she wouldn't be allowed to speak.
Oh God, how controlled.
For me, TV.
I wish I had seen this. Why the hell did I have to be on the train last night?
The show absolutely ground to a halt when Andy Williams came out.
In the last
20 minutes of the show,
Andy Williams
came out and sang Moon River.
Yeah. Oh, man. And now
And
this is where you got the shots of the stars.
With his face peeled back behind his head.
God, his belly button's up on his neck now.
This is where you have the shots of all the stars who are just bored out of their minds. But when they catch themselves on the monitor.
Yeah, they get all happy and
peppy. There we are. And one of them actually made that move, and they put it. Oh, look, orange.
Hey, there we are. Whee!
Yeah.
Ain't life grand.
And then they had that old fart, Sid Caesar, come out.
Oh my God.
He started doing some bit where he speaks in foreign languages.
He still looked like did he do the German thing?
Yeah,
where he's
he did.
Like,
I mean, it was really sort of happening 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, but now not anymore.
And he's not as sharp as he once was.
Still, in the post-World War II era.
Yeah, it was
probably very popular.
He really did like a stereotypical Japanese accent that was like right out of 1943.
Right, exactly.
And I did laugh at one point they said, but the year 1980 was the year we turned it around. That was the year that NBC reclaimed its crown as the number one primetime network. And they started showing clips. And these were the shows that they showed clips from.
Okay, here we go.
The A-Team, Remington Steele, My Two Dads.
What a contribution to the culture.
Saved by the Bell.
Oh, my God.
Punky Brewster.
Oh, wow.
227.
Amen.
And Amen with George Jefferson.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, these were the shows.
So sucking everybody's own A.
The Talking Car.
Oh, Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, yeah.
Oh, my.
Super Train.
I really forgot What contribution NBC has made to television.
Dick.
When you list those shows.
They've made dick.
You have a couple of mega hits. You have The Cosby Show and Seinfeld, surrounded by just a world of crap.
I can't believe they went the whole night and didn't mention The Single Guy.
The Single Guy. Oh, my God. And did they do anything with the news division at all?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
Hi there. Yes, sir.
He was featured on...
Here's my tribute to John Chancellor.
In the montage at the very end,
yeah.
He was the... Tom Brokaw had the last word.
Did we get any Stone Phillips last night? You know, I figured they'd go to all the New York performances.
They did the absolute cheesiest news montage of like 75 years in a minute. And of course, all the tired images with the sappy music behind
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, not to lessen the events, but you don't want to cram them all into a 90-second.
No, well, what it was you would see Berlin being blown up. Then you would see...
the Berlin Wall coming down?
No. You would see Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
then
really?
You would see actually Berlin getting blown up.
Uh-huh.
Then you would see Kennedy being shot.
Right.
Then you would see the funeral with John.
Right.
The saluting.
Sure.
Then you would see man walking on the moon.
Yeah.
Then you would see Nixon resigning. Then you would see Clinton saying, I did not have sex with that woman.
Right. And then Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
And then the Single Guy.
Amen. It was.
So basically self-congratulatory crap.
Yeah, and John Constantino brought it up. Johnny
Constantino.
If you're going to do a stroke piece on yourself, try not to run over by 20 minutes.
John hasn't indicated to me that he enjoys me doing that.
Yet, I'm not quite sure.
I'll have to test the water on that. You know?
Anyway, just it really sucked.
He's so sad.
It was really
John
bad.
Constantino.
Now, this is going to be deleted out, I know, but we have a guy who has the tape of Ozzy allegedly saying the F word on Jay Leno.
It's alleged, and if it got through the NBC sponsors. Right. Kate, good time for you to take a coffee break.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You have the tape?
I do. I don't know. I mean, I guess you can play it if NBC did.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we are held to a higher standard than NBC.
That's because we're a better network.
But let's see if it's audible.
It's quite audible. It's right at the very beginning. You'll hear the music playing them in, and it'll go right into it.
All right, go ahead.
Good to see you again, you guys.
Hey, I feel like we live here.
Huh? I thought you'd come here a lot. We like having you.
We should make it a condo next to the studio.
Yeah, that's
fine. Now, wait a second.
Yeah, there it is.
Jesus. Now, we probably hit the... That is as clear as a bell. We heard
play it
over
again.
The
phone. Back it up and play it.
It's probably the clearest word that Ozzy's ever said.
And they let that through.
Back it up and play it again.
Somebody's getting fired today, I'll tell you that.
Back it up and play it again.
All right. Give me just a second.
They did cut it out of the West Coast.
You got to hurry, though, because I want to get it on the air here.
Here we go.
Before we run out of the delay.
Make a condo next to the studio.
Yeah, that's a
good one. Okay, rewind it and play it one more time.
You got it.
Because now I'm playing a game with playing a game with our dumb people to see if it can get through.
You give old Ozzy credit there.
You ready?
Ozzy
yeah.
says it.
Yeah.
Make a condo next to the studio.
You know,
how the hell do they let that through?
I am sorry. That has probably been deleted out now three times on our show.
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
But I'm telling you, of all of the things that Ozzy Osbourne says that you can't understand...
That is completely audible.
Clear as day.
Sure is.
He says a lot of practice saying the word.
Ozzy says to Jay, they ought to have a condo built. He said, you're all over the network. We ought to have a condo built next to the studio. And then his wife says something about condom, and he says, I didn't effing say condom.
Right. Let's hear it one more time.
All right, let me get it up.
Although I know this is maddening if you're listening on the radio, that you're just hearing bits and pieces.
We have to be sure.
Because they're deleting the hell out of it.
Sure.
But goddamn, it's funny. And that guy was right, and so were the two other guys over the weekend who told me.
Exactly.
I apologize to all three. Wow.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
don't try this at home segment.
Yeah, but I've never put a foreign object in my mouth.
No, I missed it. Let me rewind.
Did he say, I've never put a foreign object in my mouth?
Yes.
Is he talking about the bat?
I don't know. It's under context.
I wonder if that's what it was about.
It was a domestic thing.
Here we go.
There it is.
And you can tell by the audience's reaction when they go, oh, Ozzy. Yeah.
That is great. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
I got to get on that party train. I really do. We haven't watched the finale.
That is too good.
Crazy train.
And the last thing.
Do they bleep him out on the MTV?
Yes.
Yeah.
Constantly. The last thing that I want to say about the NBC show last night, and we'll run late. Give me a second
okay,
here, Bob.
Okay, got a break.
30 seconds. I can wind this up in 30 seconds. Then let's say you are a tourist to New York City,
mm-hmm.
or even a resident, and you don't know that NBC is having a gigantic J.O. session.
Right.
Imagine your surprise last night at about 11:29, if you were anywhere near Rockefeller Center,
right.
and all of a sudden it appeared that the building was on fire and that the building had been attacked.
And you were awakened by explosions?
Yes, as they set off self-congratulatory fireworks from the top of Rockefeller Center.
Now, any heat in the New York papers today about this?
Absolutely.
As far as people freaking out?
Was there really was?
Dumbasses.
Yeah. It woke me up.
Unbelievable.
Because I was watching it last night on TV thinking...
Did it really? I mean, and you're a good, 20 blocks away.
Yeah, and it was loud. It sounded like a lot of popping. I mean, I couldn't make out what it was, but it didn't sound right, whatever it was. And it did concern me.
Imagine if you're walking around.
Yeah.
You're like some dink from Iowa.
Yeah, but what if you're like in one of the hotels or one of the apartment buildings that's right near there?
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to see explosions on any skyscraper
How
ever
stupid
again
is
the
that?
Jesus. NBC. There you go.
NBC, duh.
Thank you, NBC.
Thanks a lot. Hey, Will Ferrell, what do you think of that?
That's great.
I'm on a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, DORM, broadcasting live from the Bakersfield Science Building. Great.
The Don and Mike Show. Your source for bad horse. The Don and Mike Show.
I want to thank Rob for helping me out there. Read my part during a live commercial.
And I tell you, it was just like you weren't missed. It was seamless. It was a seamless transition. You know, after a few years together on the radio, there are certain things you do that you know, you just do.
You and I,
doing live spots, we have our way that I don't think is like anybody else's way.
Told you, Rob.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It happened.
Him and me.
There's a way that we do. We don't do them like we don't necessarily do them well, but we don't do them like anybody else.
No offense taken. It just felt weird for me, too. So, you know. Didn't belong.
I told Mike right in the middle of the commercial. I told you it'd be different with someone else.
Yeah, it's very strange. I'm looking forward to you going to that, that witch doctor today to get your voice back.
So am I, for God's sake.
I hope he gives you like a magic pill, something to burn like the first layer off.
Jesus H. Christ.
That doesn't work, see me.
877-365-3636, your national number, D.C. 202-432-1067, and New York 877-692-1027. Although I'll say this about my voice, it seems that I've gotten into a bit of a groove. I know it's annoying to hear it, probably, if you're listening.
I think it's far more annoying to listen to somebody who's got a cold. That to me really disturbed. When you hear, I heard a traffic reporter on a local station in Washington, D.C., who I believe has had adenoids for 15 years.
Is that Lisa Baden?
And I don't know. I think she would blow out any mucus that she would have.
Is it Rita?
Oh, it could be.
Rita Kessler.
But it's somebody that's like, we listen to it, that's the way. And, you know, there's no effort made to clear it out.
Be Kate's Law.
Kate's
it
Law.
It might be the deaf girl.
I don't think it's Kate. Could be. Excuse me.
Are you
I just burped. Except steak and eggs that I had this morning.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. But I mean, when you hear somebody who's totally like talking like that, with their totally congested.
That's right.
But I think really with the pollen of 4 million that we've had, everybody's just walking around with all this. You see people hacking and wheezing all over the place. Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that I feel fine.
Yeah.
Good. Well, what I didn't tell you is that
I feel like a dickweed. I felt like a dick not coming in last week when the doctor said don't talk. Because look, obviously, I took 4 days off and didn't talk at all. And look what good it did.
And you know what it did to me? It gave me a chance to go on my kids' field trip and get something from one of the 30 kids that had something on the school bus also, which I know. I mean, I was in a school bus when it was 85 degrees and it was an incubator.
Yeah.
It was a petri dish for disease.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that these preschool teachers don't get disease. diseases, but I was on there, and they said, oh, three or four of them are very, very sick. Last time when we were on a field trip, it was your daughter that was feeling ill. And I'm like going, oh, God, what
is
this?
So what they're saying is like, well, last time it was your daughter, so congratulations. Yeah. Now sit here and get sick from someone else's kid.
Well, I mean, and you're driving along, and, you know, I think like a moron, it's been a while since I've ridden a school bus, you know, a few decades since I rode a school bus. And I said, turn the air conditioning on. You know, the driver's like, dumbass.
Call the window.
Pull the window right down there.
Well, at least you're not like me. You don't sound like Stevie Nicks.
No, no. You know.
For God's sakes. But you know what I wish you would? I wish you would, since you had the day off Friday,
yes,
and you were able to go on your kids' field trip.
Thursday, actually. I went on the
Thursday.
Kids' field
trip. I wish you would tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What you were starting to talk about at breakfast tonight?
Well, the opportunity to go on my kids' field trip was wonderful. You know, in my day, when I was a kid, dads didn't go on those things.
Right.
I mean, it was all the traditional roles and stuff. So when I went on this field trip, there were, I think, there was one mom, one or two moms. It was two classes that went, and there were like three dads, myself. And, I kind of felt like I'm going on the first field trip that I've ever had a chance to go on with my kid. This is so exciting. She, my youngest, is so excited about this. It's going to be wonderful. And, there are a couple of dads. One dad I know that I hang out with occasionally, and then this other dad.
The other guy.
The dad that just bugged me. The dad that, you know, anybody that goes to school functions or you interact with your kids, it's the overconfident dad. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The kind of guy that gets on the bus and he's eating like a donut or something like that. And I just looked at the guy and he has one of these, you know when somebody's eating, just like, I'm eating. You know, I know it shouldn't annoy me. I know I'm Patrick Bateman, but I'll tell you right now, this annoyed me when I saw this guy because he just had this look about him. Yeah.
In your defense, let me say you are not telling this exactly.
I haven't gotten to the good part
as
yet.
As you did earlier when you described the guy.
Well, he is the classic
donuts.
Yuppie. He's got his little bag of food. He's completely prepared.
What's he wearing?
Like he probably has the amount of money where he is able to do this on a regular basis.
What's he wearing?
And he's wearing this like these khakis, and he's wearing his little Docksiders and his little rich man outfit that he's got on, his little rich man cash. And I kind of I threw the golf shirt on and the sport coat to be like super dad, to look like a dad that was going on a field trip. I wanted to, you know, when I go to a school function for my kids, I dress up a little bit because my dad was always dressed really well when he came to my functions, and I always liked that. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted, so this guy gets, and it's like he's been there before, and you know, he's probably on his like eighth field trip or something like that. And I just felt completely threatened by him, and I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's my own issues, my own mental problems that I have, but this guy, he's wearing the whole little, the yuppie little outfit, and he's got the Harry Potter effing glasses. And I'm sitting there, you know, right away. I mean, he hasn't done anything to me. He hasn't done anything to me. But I notice this guy because I just look at him like, when somebody's eating like that, just getting on, not saying hello, not doing the proper adulting, but just eating and they ignoring everybody.
Sure.
It just, you know, I like when you see a dad, it's like, hey, how you doing, Phil? Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, dads act.
That's how dads are supposed to act. They're not supposed to be eating just like a little 4-year-old.
Cabbage chops.
Yes, just cabbage chops. I'm going to eat and go back and sit down. So we get to the place.
Well, look at that sloppy father who's getting on right now.
Yeah, look at him with the sport coat. Why is he wearing a sport coat? He should be like me eating something. So we get to the place where the theater where we're going to have a nice little one-man show. It was a wonderful little presentation they gave for the little kids. And before that, we sit down with all the kids and we're having lunch. And so this guy, the next thing I notice is I'm over at this one table and I see him walking with his kid. And I think a boy or a girl, and I think it was a boy. And they're skipping.
Oh.
And he walks in skipping.
Goodness.
And I look over and I'm just like, you know, well, are you that confident? Are you that confident, you know, with your own persona that you skip? You know, and I'm just, oh, you know, that's like strike two right there. I'm just looking at a little Harry Potter glasses, skipping. And then, like during lunch, he hands out cookies. And he goes, cookies from the Rich Man's Town Bakery? And he mentions the name of the town. Cookies. From the Rich Man's Town Bakery.
And he's mentioning
every time he mentions the cookies, it's the Rich Man's Town Bakery.
And he's mentioning one of the more exclusive areas.
Right, exactly.
Of D.C. where all the rich people
live. And I'm sitting there, oh, thank you. You know, and it's fine that he did that. You know, obviously, I mean, maybe I should bring cookies too. You know, I mean, I don't know what the etiquette is. is. But I'm just sitting there. And then we go out, and we're sitting on the patio of this theater in Washington, watching planes land. And the guy says, at the top of his lungs, hey, one of those planes hit a bridge one time, little Timmy.
Oh, no.
God. You know, and I said, I think loud enough for him to hear, hey, why don't you tell that story, Dad, duh, dumbass. You know, and it was just one of these deals where, you know, obviously, he's probably, I don't know whether he's got enough money, where he doesn't have to worry about it, where he can just be his own, he can skip with his kid. F you! You know, and that's how I felt about the whole thing. It just, you know, and here I am. You know, maybe it's my own turmoil. Well, maybe they're my own issues. But you know what? That just pissed me off. The whole demeanor.
I've been on enough of those things myself to know. First, let me tell you, A.
You know the dad I'm talking about, right?
You are a hump.
Right.
However, B.
Right.
I've been on enough of those school things with my kid.
You know the dad I'm talking about, right?
I know the type of dad you're talking about.
The type of dad that's like, you know, he's like the mind of the child dad, you know?
Oh.
You know what I mean? That I can relate because I'm like a little boyish boy. Just, you know, F you.
Skipping.
It really annoyed me. I like dads that are into their kids. I am into my kids, and I dig it. And I tell you, there was nothing when, you know, when we were not coming in on Thursday and Friday, and I had this opportunity, I was so psyched because of our schedule and everything else. I don't get a chance to see my kids as much as I'd like, and this was a golden opportunity. And my daughter was so into it. I mean, it was just terrific. And so I'm not going to tell you that it ruined my day, but, you know, through all that love and that wonderful experience, I can still manage to squeeze out a little hatred. Thank you, Rob.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
When I've been to
Bart's, you know, the
school,
dad, right? They're the type,
to do stuff.
Man,
yeah, I mean,
they are a type.
They're the type of guys.
They're like, they're usually, they got a little money to burn, you know.
They always wear pink button-down shirts.
Right.
They have, they're the type of guy who still ties the sweater around the neck.
Right,
that's
exactly. Yeah.
It's like, when you meet them, you go, hey, you know, hi.
How
Mike,
are you?
Mike Source, how you doing?
And there's nothing. There's nothing there.
And then eventually he'll go, John Gielgud. Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
From the Gielgud from Potomac. So, my boy tells me you do the raunchy radio show.
What's the
dial position for that?
Right.
I have been through it 1,000 times.
Yeah, and there are people that are cool, and there are people that are, and I'm sure, you know, probably, you know, I didn't take another away. It was just an observation, and I was just, you know, sitting there going, yeah. But the very fact that I had a chance to do that was wonderful, and then coming back, I think, is when I, you know, received some sort of death grip, some sort of childhood disease strain that got into my lungs, and I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning hacking on Friday morning, but had a wonderful, wonderful time. You got certain parents that, you know, it's the same thing, only in a different way. When I go see my kids play t-ball and you see a coach on the other team that is too serious. I got the greatest bunch of coaches this year for my daughter's t-ball. It is wonderful. But when you see the dads that are too into it, or the moms that are too into it, you know, yelling to me, any parent that yells at their kid playing t-ball, that really yells at them like they're doing something wrong. I mean, that's a parent.
T-ball's like a retard game.
I mean, Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Here's my point. My kid played t-ball.
Right, right.
What I mean is...
But I mean, it's 6 and 4.
That's what I'm saying.
These kids don't know where to throw the ball. They don't know what base to run to.
I know. That's why it's a retard game.
And yelling at a kid.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point. It doesn't make any sense.
It gets no better.
They could not make that determination. These kids, it is all they can do to focus for 15 minutes on anything.
It will get no better.
Right.
It will get no better. It's no different than, I think Bart was in 8th grade.
Right.
I went on that field trip to Six Flags.
Right.
It was like a 4-hour bus ride.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way to the amusement park, 4 hours away,
mm-hmm,
I had brought the movie Caddyshack.
Right, right.
Now, these are 8th grade boys.
Uh-huh.
Sure. I put the movie in, and one of the dads immediately got up and said, I find that movie inappropriate. I have brought something that is age appropriate. And I remember the movie, Operation Dumbo Drop.
Wow.
And it was this dumb friggin' movie with Ray Liotta about somebody in Vietnam falling in love with an elephant. And every kid on the bus was booing when this movie came on.
Of course.
And they started going, Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Caddyshack.
Well, Caddyshack, the only thing I would say about Caddyshack is Lacey Underall in there. That's
I had the remote.
Are you going to fast forward through Lacey Underall? Fine, then. You're cool with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I just...
Lacey Underall.
I got to watch what I say here because I value my kids' privacy.
Right.
Let me just say that I was not unhappily surprised. You know, a Buzz, God bless him, for my birthday and for Christmas, pretty much gives me a solid gift every time. A DVD, porno DVD.
Right, right.
And I, for the most part, have not watched them.
Right.
They are still, they're up on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And as
Buzz,
I was,
you might want to start giving those gifts to me then.
All right, you got it.
Very good.
As I was looking for a DVD for the train ride up here to New York, I couldn't help but notice that a few of them, which I know I have never watched,
are slightly open,
have mysteriously had all of the shrink wrap taken off them.
Ah, there you go.
And maybe have been watched by somebody.
Natural curiosity.
I'm not sure who that would be in my house.
Natural curiosity.
Opening up my dirty DVDs.
The dogs, probably.
But,
oh, God.
All I know is that that was one of the things when I wrote that down in a note to my wife. You know,
right.
You know, I wrote something like, that's my boy or whatever.
They all grow up and they grow up faster than you can.
She, you know, she says to me, she goes, don't leave your pornography sitting out where he can see it.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, come on.
Well, it's like trying to discipline them when they use language. Like when I'm watching a computer game and my daughter's in back of me, and if you crack a smile, that automatic reaction smile that you get, even
like,
if it's a soft word, my six-year-old comes in and goes, Daddy, this game sucks. And I couldn't, you know, when I get she sees the initial reaction where I do the chuckle and you're done. You know, as you said, that's not the right word to use, Catherine. Please don't say that. And she sees that there's the twinkle in Daddy's eye and I can't help myself.
It happens even at 16 months.
Of course.
If you laugh at a tantrum, this is the stage we're at with Julia.
Oh.
She likes to stand and look in the refrigerator.
Right.
And if you shut the door and she says, da, na, 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 and you know.
Well, she's like her father in that regard.
Yes. But I paid for that food, so I can do that.
That's right.
And, you know, if you smile and laugh at the tantrum, then you got a screaming kid for 20 minutes. Right. So it's nasty business.
And the thing that Frida hates about my relationship with Bart is that because I do treat him like a little man, such as letting him sleep in, and, you know, if it's his ass,
right.
I talk to him now the same way I talk to any guy,
mm-hmm.
right.
Which means that it's F this and F that, and so he'll say to me, Dad, what was happening at work today? And I'll say, oh, well, you know, this effing moron says to me, you know, and I said, F you, and then the guy says, eat my ass, and I said, yeah. So now he is talking back to me the same way. I don't mean he's talking back like he's back-talking
right,
to me, but as he's describing his day,
right,
it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The words are just every once in a while, they're coming out, and I've noticed that it bothers my wife more than I, you know, because I know he talks like that anyway.
Right.
All kids talk like that.
Yeah.
And I wish my dad would have talked like that with me. I don't know. I don't know if it would have meant a hill of beans.
Well, let me tell you a story about that. As far as the O'Mara household growing up, that particular word that you're referring to,
the F word.
One time, and it was, I believe, when I was 16 or 17 years old, and I don't know where it came from, but I had not used that word in my house, and something was served at our family dinner table.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know where I was. I was probably still on the school bus. I was probably still, like, at baseball practice or something. But there was something served next to the pork chop that I couldn't identify, and somehow out of my mouth came, what the F is that?
Oh, dear.
And do you know the scenes in movies where they finally, like, find the grail or some particular switch is thrown and the ground begins to shake and then the earth splits open and fire and brimstone comes out? I looked up at my old man, and that was it was the feeling as though someone had taken my testicles from my body and put them on a street corner where they were stomped by pedestrians.
See, the difference is these are private conversations.
Right.
It's not like Bart.
Well, this was with Mom, and this was just, my sister had gone off to college, so this was Mom, Mike, and Dad, my father raised by Jesuits, you know. My father was a good guy, I'm sure. When he was in World War II, he used just as much language as every, He used a lot of GD. And he used the S word. The F word, though, and I have, you know, when you just, we've done it on the air before, where you let your guard down, and I said, what the F is that? And I looked over, and my father, you know, I was like 16. I was not a small kid at that stage of the game. And I almost felt like, even at that age, that I thought he was going to take whatever utensil he was eating with and stab me in the heart.
Do you think it would have been better if you had just said, this is effing great?
Right.
But, because it was sort of insulting to your mom and bad language.
But at that point, really, at that age, I mean, he's not going to beat the crap out of me or anything like that.
Right.
But the look that I got and the reaction was, you know, what you got, that sound of silverware going down onto the plate.
Like the grandmother did.
That clink.
Like,
and I just looked up, and it was kind of an unwritten rule. Where I looked up at my old man, and I knew that I had erred, and I knew that I wouldn't err again. It was just not a...
This is just something just between Bart.
Yeah, right.
And I make the distinction of, you know, don't talk this way around Mom. Mm-hmm. And here's another great real double standard that with Bart and I. Sometimes we will be in a family, I'll call it a family discussion, and Frieda and I will be going at some issue.
Right.
Probably involves Bart being able to do something.
Right.
Okay. You know, he wants to stay out late or whatever the case is. And we are going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And, I mean, she and I, nothing that is obscene, but, I mean, it's like we are into it. We're saying,
right.
No, listen, I get absolutely, I ball my fist up and I go, I told him 11:30 is the curfew. 11:30 is the curfew. She says, but listen, that's unrealistic. Midnight is an easier time. We go back and forth and I'm yelling at her. She's yelling at me. As soon as Bart says one thing to her, I turn around and I go, hey, you do not speak to your mother like that.
Right.
But at the same time, he just watched me speak to his mother like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird dance. It's the weird dance that we all do.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very strange. You're sitting there going back and forth, and that's it. But, you know, everybody has a different way of dealing with it. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible.
And F that dad that was skipping.
Yeah.
F that guy.
Yeah, just one of those. You know, and it's
F-y a jag-off.
I can't describe it. I don't think I'm capable, with my limited American University education, with articulating exactly what it made me feel. There's an attitude that they project, which is just the, you know, I don't care about anything.
It's the I'm better than you attitude.
I'm better so I can skip.
Yeah. Skip this.
Yeah, skip this right
skip
here.
Skip my D.
Niedermeyer.
skip the Lou, my darling.
Absolutely. You know, it's a round glasses thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Buzz.
Yeah. Mine are oval.
Yeah, yours are oval. Yeah. They are.
Buzz doesn't have the Harry Potter glasses.
No, he doesn't. No, not at all.
He really doesn't. We got a break.
He's got that same attitude.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No, I don't know what to say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With Ken's tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that's certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right.
A day-to-day struggle to find the worst in people.
No problem.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Yo.
No, the other Mike.
Yeah.
It's Don and Mike. I'm Don, and that's Mike.
No, you're Mike.
Yeah, in real life, I'm Mike. You're right, and so is Buzz.
We're all Mike.
Yeah, you're all Mike. But,
yeah, actually,
Mike,
they're
talking
three
to Mike Geronimo here. Kind of sounds like your marriage is breaking up there, doesn't it?
Are you talking to me, Don?
Yeah, I'm talking to Mike Source over there.
Yeah, how was my marriage breaking up?
Mike Geronimo.
How was my marriage breaking up?
Well, I was on hold listening to your conversation with whatever your wife's name is this morning. Kind of sounds like your marriage is breaking up, doesn't it?
You mean the conversation on the air?
Yeah.
How does it sound like your marriage is breaking up?
Well,
hey, we got to hit the delay.
You're going to have to delete that out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my fault.
That's in fun. I was making a joke, you dumbass.
Yeah, well, she didn't sound too pleased with you there.
You obviously... Listen, let me say something to you there.
Don't say that. Let me...
Let me say something to you there. That obviously you there don't understand that me and my wife, when we are on the radio, we are doing a shows for dumbasses like you.
Yeah, right.
Right. Right.
Wait, hold on. What's your wife's name again? Trudy?
God damn. I wish you were dead.
Hey, Michael...
I wish you, Rob.
Yeah.
It's time for some naked cruelty.
Trudy, any good at oral? Tell me that.
Now listen. And what is the deal?
What are you eating?
What is the deal with the chewing?
What are you chewing? Are you nervously chewing something? Or are you? Yeah. All right. So it's that guy. So he's gone.
It was the effing fact.
It was the effing.
Forget
gone.
It. Put it away. I don't. It. Can't be the naked cruelty with that guy.
He doesn't like us very much.
It was the effing faggots guy.
Chewing on your wife. You know, that'd be good in a bar.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
A bar.
That would be big fun. I'm thinking about that a lot lately.
That guy.
How much fun it would be in a bar.
Okay, I'll give him credit.
He gets a free pass.
Even though he says he hates us.
Uh-huh. He loves us.
He listens all the time.
And that's his way of welcoming us.
That's right. You know what? Someday... maybe we'll put out, you know, like one of those things for Children's Hospital.
Right.
Uncensored Don and Mike, where you would just be able to hear the guy when we finally push him to the point where he has no defense, when he just finally says,
right.
The UF.
You know, totally X-rated CD of all the stuff that we've edited out of this program.
With all proceeds.
Because I was on the verge, you know, he's going over to me. I was really on the verge of giving him the FU.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
He's a nice conflicted boy.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello
like
there.
John Constantino.
Hello. Are you there? Yes.
Because if he's not, I'm going to keep singing.
Yes. Hello.
Did you guys see The Simpsons last night?
The Simpsons? I didn't see it. No.
No, we missed it.
No.
Oh.
You know, you could actually transport this
Thank
call
you.
10 years earlier be a relevant call.
Hello, yes. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Bob, the Wrigley Field beer tender.
Oh, it is not.
No, I don't think it is.
I just wanted to thank Buzz for the on-air mention and let him know that the Jamaican weed will be sent overnight.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Yeah, that's him.
Although, you know, Buzz was just telling me during the break.
Don't they vend that at Wrigley, too?
Sure,
actually get that?
Buzz was telling me during the break. Now, I worked at this radio station in Chicago, B96.
Right.
I worked there for 2 years.
Right.
Okay? I took the morning show from number 19 to number 4.
Right.
Never made it to number 1, but we made it to number 4.
Right.
I'm remembered on the station when they're playing back the tape of the greatest moments of the station.
Did they do that? They had a tape?
They had a tape, Buzz says. And Buzz says, I'm on for one break. And what did I have to say?
You know, and we were just talking about how some things never change. His over the intro of a record, he said, I'm Don Geronimo. I'm a real man. I only drink buttermilk. I don't even drink homogenized milk because it begins with HOMO.
And that's it.
That was his record intro back then.
So who put the tape together, Buddy Scott?
No, one of the production guys.
Really? Two years. Yeah. I did the night show and the morning show, yeah. And that's what I get. Is one mention.
No respect.
Yeah. One mention where I say
no respect. That sucks.
Homo milk.
That's the way it would be. You know, a lot of radio stations. I think. You know, they just don't give credit where credit.
Four seconds. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Was Dick Biondi all over that?
No, he wasn't on the tape at all.
Really?
All
right.
Because he's underground.
Hello, yes. Don and Mike Show.
He's dead.
Worm food.
Hello.
Speak to us, or I have
please.
To sing like Johnny Constantino.
Hello. Please spare me from this. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. What?
He's so happy on the outside, but the so sad on the inside.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
With the clowns. You will hear that click of little noise. I'd just like to tell you guys, hey, I appreciate you guys in a day. It makes my day. I was wondering if you guys ever checked back with that guy that was in, I think it was Seattle. To see if he was still standing out there waiting to get in to see the movie.
Oh, the Star Wars guy.
We'll have to do that, right? Because Star Wars coming up right around the corner.
Yeah, thank you for the call, my friend. You know, as a matter of fact, there are two things that we have to check up on. One is the two idiots waiting for Star Wars.
Right.
And the other was, wasn't there like a 700-pound guy in Cleveland who was waiting for an operation and he had to lose 200 pounds?
We've got his phone number taped to the window in our office in D.C.
What's the operation that he's waiting for?
He's one of those guys like that was on Maury Povich or on
Geraldo. And he's got to lose the weight for them to operate to get like his stomach stapled or something like that?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, he was so fat. He was so fat he couldn't get the stomach stapling.
Right.
And we called him up and we offered him encouragement, and he needed to leave. He had to get down from 700 to 500 pounds.
He said he'd love for us to check back in with him, so we do
it. He wants to get down to 500 pounds because 700 pounds is a hassle.
He's Henry Clay.
Right. Those guys are still outside the theater.
Somebody mentioned the name Dick Biondi.
Yeah.
And
Dick Biondi, the disc jockey that wanted to get into a fist fight with you, but you wouldn't fight him because he was too skinny, too old.
Here's the deal. And I got a picture of him here. Mm-hmm. And Lisa, you know what? I hope that you can take this and put this on WNEW.com today. Not only the old pictures of me, but the old pictures of Buzz from 20 years ago.
Right.
But a picture of
that's
this guy.
That's some serious black velvet hair dye there.
This guy right here. Dick Biondi. Now, the deal is...
Was that his real hair, or was he wearing a wig?
No, but it was a dye job.
Yeah, a dye job.
Dye job. This guy was like one of the old-time Chicago disc jockeys. Like, he was popular in 1960.
In the 50s, even.
Right. So, he's doing the morning show at the radio station in Chicago. And... He sucks.
Right.
Because he's doing like a 1950s show.
Sure.
This was back in 1982. Mm-hmm. And every day he's getting on the air, and his whole rap is, hey, it's going to be I can't do it because of my voice, but.
Hi, this is Dick Biondi, boy. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day in Windy City, I'll tell you right now.
Except he was not even that good.
No.
He was bad. He was so bad he was good.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's really tough.
He would make awful jokes.
Joke books.
Joke book stuff. So, so what happens is, they offer me the morning show. Mm-hmm. They say, we're going to can Dick Biondi, mm-hmm. and we're going to put you on in the morning. But do us a favor, don't say anything about it. And I didn't.
Okay.
To them.
Right.
But a guy from the newspaper calls me up.
Mm-hmm.
A guy from the trip calls, and he says, I understand you're moving to mornings. I said, I have no comment.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, if it's not true, tell me it's not true. I said, I have no comment. So the guy writes the story.
Right.
Because basically everybody in the world knows that this is going to happen.
And if you said no comment, you did what you were supposed to do.
Right.
That's right.
Everybody in every radio station in Chicago knows that I'm going to go to the morning show.
Right.
So one night, it's about 6:30. I started off doing 6 to 10 at night. Then I went to 6 to 10 in the morning. At about 6:30 at night, this guy, and we've got to put the picture up on the website, because he looks like, with dyed hair, you know the movie with Angelica Houston and Jack Nicholson and Catherine?
Pritzy's Honor?
Yeah.
He looks like the dad. Like the dad in Pritzy's Honor.
Only he's got jet black hair.
Right.
So, about 6:30, this guy comes into the studio, 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing there, I'm doing my show, I'm playing the records, and he comes in with the Chicago Tribune.
Right.
And he says, you think you're taking my job? And I said, Dick, I don't know anything about that. He says, nobody takes my job from me. Now, at the time, the guy is, I'm in my early 20s,
right.
And the guy is, at that point, he's almost 55, almost 60.
Yeah. Right.
He says, nobody takes my job. Nobody goes behind my back. And I said, hey, it's not my decision. It's not my decision. And at that point, he comes over and he pushes me. He puts out one bony little arm and pushes me.
Very frail, man.
And very frail.
Yeah.
And, you know, looks like he's got the AIDS.
Right.
I mean, this is how bad the guy is.
Yeah, right.
And now I'm processing all of this.
So he wants you to get into a fight with him.
I'm processing this in my mind while I'm on the air, while I'm playing a record. I'm thinking, now, I could either punch him and knock him down, but then the story's going to be...
Yeah, I mean, young guy
Don Geronimo
kicks the crap out of old man.
Beats up old man.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be that Dick Biondi came in and threatened to kick my ass,
right,
and I wouldn't fight him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was, and this is the great thing about B96, the only radio station I've ever worked at that had a lock on the inside.
Right.
You could lock yourself in the studio.
Sure.
What I did was, I grabbed Dick Biondi by his shoulder, and I said, come here, come here, come here. And I put him outside, and I locked the door. And then I went on the air, and I told a story on the air.
Right.
I stopped playing records, and I said, the most unbelievable thing is happening right now. Dick Biondi is here, and he wants to fight me. Dick Biondi wants to fight me because of what was in the Chicago Tribune today.
Now, what is he doing while you're saying this on the other side of the locked door?
He is looking in through it was a big metal door with just a little piece of glass. And he's looking at me, and he's hearing this, and he's balling up his fists.
Really?
He's looking at me, and he's balling up his fist. And I'm looking at him while he's doing this on the air, and I'm pointing at him, and I'm laughing, and I'm saying, this is not a fair fight. I can't fight Dick Biondi.
Right, right.
Dick!
Hey, no, don't push your... You're straining.
I'm going, Dick, you're almost 60.
Right.
I can't fight you.
Right.
I can't fight you. And he's doing this. So at one point, I really come over and I bring the microphone like as far as over. I go, listen to Dick Biondi beating on the station door. and you hear.
So he wanted to come in. Was he getting angrier when you were talking about it on the air?
He was outraged.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely outraged.
So what happened when you got done during the break?
Well, when I got done during the break, I just left the door locked. And he stayed out there for about 30 minutes.
Right.
And then he left.
Yeah.
And when I left the building that night, I said, did Biondi leave? And they said, yes, he left. And when I got home, I got a call from the program director who said that Dick Biondi called and threatened to wait for me after work, that he knew people in the Chicago Mafia,
mm-hmm.
That my life was not going to be safe,
wow.
That how dare I take his job,
yeah.
And furthermore, I was a giant pussy for refusing to fight him.
Wow.
That he was willing to fight over his territory. And
my God.
I think they fired him like a day later.
Yeah.
When he went on the air then with his version of the story.
Right, right.
He told what happened.
Right.
He came down and he said, I went down there. And I challenged this boy, this young upstart, to a fight, and he refused to fight me.
And I says, my God.
And I was the newsman on the air on the morning show the day that Dick Biondi did his last show, and then the next day when Don Geronimo did his first show.
So how did Dick Biondi's little tenure end there? Was it a nice farewell, or was it bitter and ugly?
No, it was bitter. I mean, I didn't see a lot of the mess, but I know he was very angry, and then suddenly he was gone.
Jesus.
As so often happens in radio.
Wow.
Fantastic.
That's a radio story,
yeah,
right there.
You know, please.
Radio, it's red hot.
Really, really. Put this picture on WNEW.com. So people know the guy I'm talking to.
Can I take a closer look at him?
You got to look at this, Mike.
Right.
Really, you got to look at this guy. And you got to think that 20 years ago, I'm just a disc jockey playing records.
You take away the dye job there. My God. I mean, that is jet black hair on a man that should be snow white.
And Rob, can you find an air check of Dick Biondi somewhere?
You know, actually, if Joe goes into the locker in the production room, it's labeled, I believe it's labeled DB. They're yellow tapes at the bottom of the
camera. Joe, go find one right now real fast, please, before we have to break. Because you got to hear the guy, because the play of tape from...
Because it's really up here, isn't it, like that? Yeah, yeah.
And the tape will play is, I think, from 1958.
And it was exactly how the guy sounded in 1981.
Yeah. Introducing Duran Duran and with the music of the day. And I remember working with this guy and finishing a newscast, and he would come in with a joke out of his joke book, you know, to get us out of the news and back into the music. And it would be just awful, and I would just let there be like a beat and a half of dead air and say, that was like a joke, right? And then he would jingle out, and it was a train wreck of a show. It was horrible.
But anyway, you got to see the picture of the guy.
Who is this?
Who is who?
Right here.
Mike is looking at...
Who would that be?
Pass that over.
A lady.
A lady.
It's, I don't know. Who is that?
I can
a piece of ass in that picture.
Yeah,
was.
I mean...
Point you which one?
The one in the maroon suit. Yes.
Don't know.
Oh,
yeah. Buzz is looking at the pictures from the
guys. Gosh.
WBBM
reunion. How come you don't know?
I didn't know some of the people at the reunion.
Hey, Joe, you got that tape? You got the tape, or should I go to break?
Go to break, and we'll keep looking for him.
Rob, it's so easy to find, isn't it?
It's in the bottom of the, I believe it's in the bottom of the cabinet. Oh, you know what? No, they're in the office now.
Oh, they moved.
They've moved.
Forgive me, Joe. I'm sorry.
Quick to indict my friend.
So where can you find the safe?
I want to know. I've turned the corner on you. That's why I gave you that big tip. And I'm not going to let you get picked on anymore.
Where can he find
Thanks,
it so we
Mike.
Can...
You're welcome. I want to rekindle my good relationship with Joe
Arden. Where can he find it so we can play it coming out of the break?
I believe you'll be able to find it in the gray file cabinet that's in your office.
Yeah, Effers, persecuting Joe Ardinger all the time.
Joe, do you think you can find that?
I think so. I have
anything goes wrong, it's Joe. It's Joe. Well, I'm telling you, it's going to stop today.
We have to break.
I love you, man.
remind me, I got to tell you about NFL Europe.
Oh, yeah.
When we come back. More show right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello there. A little more exciting. That's Genesee beer. So when thirst hits, call for Jenny. Jenny. WKBW Buffalo. Okay, now let's go with the number three record this week in Buffalo, Johnny Preston and Running Bear.
On the bank of the river.
Oh, I love those Indian songs. Nick Biondi on KB in Buffalo last week in February 1960. And, gee, who would have thought I would have lasted this long, right?
Right.
I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man. You just going on there, point and click, get in there, talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's the guy.
Can they be kind? Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
That's the guy from like 1958.
I think you should have dropped him.
And he sounds the same today.
Yes, he does.
If you want to see a really funny picture of him.
He's still working, right? He's still on the air.
Yeah. We just saw it. Go to, WJMK.com?
Right.
At least so, yeah. Any search engine on Biondi will bring you there.
WJMK.com in Chicago.
I don't know how old he is,
100.
But however old he is, he looks about 10 years older.
It makes G. Gordon Liddy look young. He really does.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a good fight.
Liddy and Biondi?
Oh, yeah. Liddy would kill him.
Biondi's scrappy.
Yeah, I don't know. Remember, we've seen Liddy try to walk upstairs.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd make Liddy have to keep on his red sport jacket. That would be the handicap.
Be a scene like Gladiator, you know, where the Caesar cheats. You know, stabs him in the heart.
I was watching Hardball the other day.
Right, with Chris Matthews.
And first off, let me just say Kathleen Matthews from Channel 7.
Baby.
I can't believe that you let that big mess lay on top of you and give you the meat all the time.
Wow. There you go. I like you putting it in that framework, too.
Because, you know, Chris Matthews, and so, listen, I'm not a handsome man myself. I've got a weight problem. But you know what? At least for Christ's sake, I can get out and get a suntan. Okay? Chris Matthews is a pasty, big, useless blob.
Yeah, you're not going to see Kathleen Matthews on the runway either, though, you know?
And his wife is the anchor lady for Channel 7. And whenever I watch him, I imagine him mounting her. Her just laying underneath his...
A lot of breathing sweat.
His gigantic, doughy, snow-white ass.
It probably would be like a real high-pitched sound when he's reaching that particular point.
Oh, dear! It would be great for sweeps.
But I'm watching Chris Matthews' show, and he's got Liddy on.
Right.
And they're discussing Israel and Palestine.
Right.
And I'm thinking as I'm watching this, if you didn't know G. Gordon Liddy, you might really buy into this, all this I'm a tough guy thing, because they've got him in a chair, and they're only shooting him on TV from the shoulder up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now... If you don't see, the thing is, you got to see the guy in person.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see him walk like Mr. Magoo.
Right.
You got to see
I can't make it to the Tupperware.
You got to see him try to walk like, I mean, when he walks like the Penguin.
Yeah.
As he very frailly tries to make it upstairs.
Where's my office?
And the thing that I noticed most of all when I was watching him is, listen, Liddy, stop dyeing your mustache.
You know, seriously.
Because I'm watching this, and big, bloated, pasty Chris Matthews is buying into this.
Well, that look, though, you got to realize that that look with the dyed mustache is a look that's been made famous. It just ruins the whole thing if he doesn't dye his mustache.
The truth.
Be like Mr. Whipple. You know, the same kind of thing. It'd be like many of the actors on the Lucille Ball show.
So, you know, Chris Matthews, who's there looking like Chris Matthews looks like a pile of a raw pie dough. And he's saying, I'm here with G. Gordon Liddy, one of the toughest men ever. One of the toughest men. G. Gordon Liddy, what would you do? And when they have the shot of Liddy just from the shoulders up, and he's going through his rhetoric,
I'd kill them all.
Yeah, you almost believe it.
Yes, sir, he'd kill them all in my day. You know how we deal with that Yasser Arafat. Fat. We'd go in there, and what I'd do is I'd take my fighting ring, and I'd stab him in the throat until dead.
You gotta know that.
That's what I'd do. Yes, sir, Bob.
Now, that's
Bob,
a fight.
I'd like to talk to my name, Bob.
That's a fight I'd like to see, is Liddy versus Dick Biondi.
Yeah.
That would be a great...
Look at that pile of blood on the floor. That's where Liddy and Biondi went down. Both of them. Fight to the death. Like gladiators. Two gladiators. Frail gladiators breaking bone. At first contact with fist to arm, bones snap. Brittle bones snap. Snap in two.
You, white trash.
Absolutely. Then a chokehold in the neck, of course, would break at the first sign of pressure on either one of them. Necks would break. Bladders would release. There'd be just issue all over the ground. Yes, there is. Liddy and Biondi.
And meanwhile, Chris Matthews is there just like a big pile of Elmer's glue.
He'd absorb them. He'd absorb the carnage. You know, and just be like, okay, give me another gift.
Hold on. Now, listen. A couple of things very quickly.
Christ, that pimp ever became famous anyway.
I was telling Rob today, I'm watching NFL Europe this weekend.
Right.
You know, I'm the only guy in America that watches NFL
Europe.
You're
still enjoying it.
And I'm watching the Frankfurt Galaxy play FC Barcelona Dragons.
FC Barcelona Dragons?
They've aligned themselves with a soccer club for some reason.
FC Barcelona Dragons. It's nice that you give them the regular name. Well,
that's what they're called now.
Football club, I think.
Yeah, FC Barcelona Dragons. So,
effing Christing.
I'm watching this. Yeah, get your music ready, Ross. And now I TiVo'd it, but I don't know how yet to get stuff off TiVo to get it onto tape. There's a guy who plays for Frankfurt,
right?
And he's an H back, and his last name is Hippler. Hippler.
Ah, Herr Hippler. Wo ist Herr Hippler?
Every time he gets the ball, it sounds just like they say, and now for Frankfurt, Hitler. Hitler up to the 28.
Hitler breaks over the right side. It's touchdown, Hitler.
I mean, listen, you had to hear it.
Sure.
And the first time, my ears perked up a little bit. The second time, I'm really watching it. I'm thinking, my God, how can there be a guy named Hitler playing for an NFL Europe team? And then the third time, they go to a close-up of the guy, and the guy's name is Hippler.
There's the handoff to Hitler. He drives towards the border. I mean, goal line.
Does he have a mustache?
All I know is that if I'm producing this game for Fox, I say to the guys, whatever you do, make sure you pronounce Hippler.
Hitler. Yeah, let me tell you something. This halfback's a fine, fine player. His former pet paper hanger doing an incredible job as he drives towards the border goal line.
There's a shot of his wife, Ava, in the stands.
Ava's really pleased out there. Yes, sir. Take a look at him. Oh, I tell you, that shock of black hair. Fantastic.
Anyway.
This author turned H-back.
You had to be there.
And you're saying you boys actually have made an effort to translate some of these songs, and one of them is the least offensive. Are they offensive songs, Rob?
I think you have it in your folder.
Really?
I didn't look at all the lyrics.
Probably the titles would probably give it away.
Because Wendell actually went to the trouble to do the search on
that. Oh, there's a frightening man right there.
And
Wendell going to one of his survivalist camps over the weekend?
Could be.
God damn, I tell you, that's a scary... You know, we work at a scary little radio
station.
Is it
maybe back in the office?
Reason to be concerned.
Yeah, very, very concerning.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Okay, very good.
Tomorrow.
Rob, listen, I went out west to see my friend in Wisconsin. We were shooting bazookas and translating your German fight song.
Actually, he was very helpful. He came up to me. He says, I think one of those songs on the album is the Panzer song.
Tomorrow we'll get the raw translation of those songs, but we do want to do it.
One of these days, Wendell's going to come to work in a Panzer.
We want to do a very quick update here. But we want to call...
He's expecting your call.
The fat guy.
And dial on the air.
Okay, great. The guy's name is Ron Pocock.
Pocock, yes.
Rocock?
Ron Pocock.
All right, let's call the Pocock man.
And he lives...
the Pococker.
Where is... Lives in Ohio, right?
The man of Pococstinia.
I don't remember. He was very pleased to hear from us. He seemed to remember our program.
Yeah, he was 700 pounds. He had to lose 200 pounds to get down to 500 pounds to have his stomach stable.
On November 27th, he was down to 635 pounds.
And he had the magic number is 500 pounds?
Right.
All right. So perhaps he's down a little more.
I would hope so.
Probably not at the 500 mark yet, but he might be getting close if he's...
You want me to dial?
If he's still exercising, watching his weight, watching what he eats.
Sounded good on the phone. I spoke to him.
Did he really? Did he sound like Dick Biondi?
No, I didn't.
I'll fight you. I'll fight you, Biondi. Okay.
You going to put those pictures on WNEW.com, please, Lisa?
Hello?
Hey, Ron.
Yes.
Hey, it's the Don and Mike Show. How you doing?
Fine, fine.
Hey, Ron, we're calling to check on your progress and see how you're doing in your pursuit of the surgery to get you even thinner.
Oh, I'm doing good.
All right, now, the last time we did that, now as far as I understand, you need to get down to about 500 pounds to have the surgery?
Right.
All right, so you have to get down to 500 pounds to have the surgery, and when last we checked in, you were a little over 600 pounds, and how's it going right now?
He was 635.
635.
On November 27th. Mm-hmm. So now, November, December, January, February, March, April, over 5 months later.
Are you down in the 620s yet?
I'm below 600.
You're less than 100 pounds away from being able to have your stomach stapled.
I'm 57 pounds away.
Wow. So, Ron, your current weight...
You're rocking and rolling, buddy.
Ron, your current weight is?
557.
Good job.
In a little over 2 months, I've lost 83 pounds.
How much in a little over 2 months?
83 pounds.
83 pounds.
Wow.
That's great news. What are you doing to lose the weight?
The doctor has me on a high-protein, low-carb, low-fat diet.
That's fantastic. What do you have for breakfast? Compare your breakfast, like your normal breakfast, what it is today and what it used to be.
I have two hard-boiled eggs and an apple or an orange or grapes, some kind of fruit.
You eat the hard-boiled egg with the grapes now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I bet that runs right through you when you throw the grapes on top of that, huh?
What did you used to have in the morning for breakfast?
I usually had about six egg sandwiches.
Wow. Six sandwiches?
Yeah.
Right, egg sandwiches.
Egg sandwiches.
Fried in bacon grease?
Not bacon grease, but fried, right. Fried,
in butter?
Butter, oil, whatever.
Right, right. And what would lunch be in the old days?
I usually didn't eat lunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. And then you would wait till dinner time, and then it was just Katie barred the door, right?
Right.
And what would an average dinner be?
Oh, two or three helpings of potatoes.
Potatoes?
You know, helping of vegetables, and, you know, three or four helpings of meat.
Chickens. Not chickens, Mike. And Ron, what is it now?
What is it now?
Yeah, what is dinner now?
I eat a vegetable and some kind of like turkey or chicken.
When I eat a vegetable, I always eat
Karen Gwendolyn. That's our vegetable joke. You ever hear her?
No.
It's a brain dead joke.
Never mind.
Sorry.
She's my favorite vegetable.
Just a joke.
Just a brain dead joke.
The good news is that Ron Pocock is down 83 pounds.
Man, let's give him another round of applause. And so you're... And at 57 pounds from now, when you get down to 500 pounds, you're going to have the surgery to have your stomach stapled?
I'll be put on the waiting list. It probably won't happen until probably about the end of the year.
What, are people donating the staples?
The doctor's donating the surgery, but then there's anesthesiologists in that, we're going
to... So you're waiting to get it done for free?
Let me see.
Pretty close to free,
yeah.
I bet I know a couple of people ahead of you in line, and maybe I can call them Buddy Scott.
No.
Right. I can call him Jim London. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I can call him.
Absolutely.
Chris Matthews.
Yes.
I will call these people and I will ask them if they would please
step aside so let our Mr. Pocock through.
Yeah. Get out of the way. And now, do you have to run around in the shower to get wet now?
No.
What is the food you miss the most now that you've been on this regimen?
I like spaghetti and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, starch.
Yeah.
Lots of starches. That's the toughest thing to you. Was spaghetti your all-time favorite when you were big?
I love spaghetti.
Yeah. In what form? Just regular with tomato and meatballs?
Yeah, just tomato and meatball.
No cream sauces?
No, not really.
You know, really, you know, seriously, all kidding aside, you know who number one on that list is? Kathy Whiteside.
Yes.
From
she likes cream sauces?
From Oldies 100.
Oh, my God.
Where do you weigh in on the Olive Garden macaroni grill issue?
I don't know.
Do you have an Olive Garden near where you live?
I think the closest one is Toledo.
Oh, so it's a good haul away.
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes.
Well, you got unlimited breadsticks.
Rob, I'm not going to ask him if he misses the suet.
Okay. Shut up,
God, Rob.
All right, listen, Ron, great talking to you. Congratulations. We'll call you again. Remember, this is the Don and Mike Show saying
right. You
can do it.
You can do it, and you're making amazing progress, and we want to follow you right down. What is your ultimate goal after you have the surgery? What do you want to get down to?
I'll be happy to be under 300.
Under 300.
Yeah.
Good job.
I'm there, and I'm telling you.
I'm happy to be there, too.
Well, I want to let all your listeners know, you know, I'm happy for their support.
That's wonderful, and that we will continue to support you, and good luck to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ron.
Well, thanks a lot.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah. Yep, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. There's an update on Ron, the 700-pound man. So he's going from 700 to 635.
It's amazing when a man's that big, and you ask the favorite food, and he throws out spaghetti.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But did you notice his energy level's really up since the diet?
Yeah. Now, the other thing, we don't have time to check on this today, but the guys are still waiting in line in Seattle in front of the theater for Star Wars.
Any of them over 500 pounds, though?
We will check back with those guys on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
Yeah, because it's been months and months since we originally talked to those two doofuses out in Seattle.
I think they'll sound much like the fat guy that we just talked to.
We'll do it on tomorrow's episode. And now,
in a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Yeah.
He made it up.
Newsman for the Dick Biondi Show.
That's right.
Michael Elston.
Hey, want to fight?
No, Dick, I don't.
Buzz, what is your lead made-up story today?
Today, through rain, sleet, and pipe bombs, the mail goes through.
Right. While you are waiting for Buzz in that story, be the 100th caller right now. 877-365-3636, DC 202-432-1067, New York 877-692-1027. You are that close away from winning $700 with the celebrity burp. Be the 100th caller. And, Mike,
that was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The only cure for syphilis of the anus. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's get a call 100 right in front of Buzz Burbank in the news. And it is you. Mello with us.
Hey, man, let's rock.
There you go. That's Cree. There you go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Who is this?
Hello.
Hello, come in, please.
Hello.
Come in, Tokyo. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name, my friend?
I'm Brian from New York.
Okay, hold on here.
Did he say his name is Buzz?
Brian.
Oh, Brian.
What's that?
Brian.
Sounded like Buzz. Buzz heard Buzz, too.
Yeah. Here's Mike to tell you what you've won. Mike.
You have won just in time for Mother's Day a gift certificate valued at $195 to Milagro Day Spa, located at the Atlantic Club in Manasquan and Red Bank, New Jersey. Go to milagrospa.com for more information.
All right, now you're going to play for $700 with the Secret Celebrity Burp number 2. Today's clue, a brand new clue. Incredible dancer.
Great dancer.
Boy, you know, Buzz and I have been thinking about it. We don't have you, but it wouldn't matter because we'd guess and you wouldn't tell us anyway.
Incredible dancer. Previous clues have been she's over 40. She is highly sexual, a damn sexy mouth. And let me give you another clue.
Right okay, here. Good. I'd like another clue.
Lisa Herndon, our producer. Come here.
Hi.
You know who the celebrity burper is.
Yes, I do.
Now, we know that you've had lesbian thoughts about Drew Barrymore.
Right.
Have you ever had a lesbian thought about this person?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Now, she could either be playing along with your elaborate plot, because
no.
your smirk betrays the fact that that might be untruthful.
No, I believe that Lisa has had.
No.
I believe that Lisa has had with her brand new haircut. I believe that looks good. I believe that she has had sexual thoughts about the person.
Is that a new haircut?
Yeah.
Oh, that looks nice.
Very fetching.
Surprised you didn't notice that.
I didn't.
So I'll play you the burp now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like. Here we go.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
As a matter of fact, I don't want to embarrass her, but I can't tell you how many times I've gotten my jerk on while thinking about Lisa.
Honey, John Constantino.
Yeah. Let me just say that. When I think of Lisa undressing this
you
woman,
uh-huh.
or this woman undressing Lisa,
mm-hmm.
and the two of them embracing, and then, you know, kneading each other's bosom.
Oh, this is...
And then eventually,
tough.
Eventually feasting on the yeast. My God, it's erotic.
Man, oh man.
I'm about to make a mess right now thinking
about it. Wow, that's incredible.
You know how to paint a picture.
For $700, who is the celebrity burper?
I don't know. The only one I'm coming up with, let's go with Kathleen Turner.
No. Good guess, though.
Oh, no. We're sorry.
Nope. And yep. Now you don't forget, though, every guess is
here's a clue for you.
Try to make it more crystal clear for you damn dummies tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, thanks. We who are the damn dummies salute you.
And Lisa, is tomorrow the Stones announcement that I'm not supposed to talk about? That everybody in the world knows about. Right, you'll hear it here tomorrow on the Don and Mike Show.
Very exciting.
The Big Stones announcement to hear it live on the Don and Mike Show.
There you go, but don't get away.
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The mail is going through today, even though more pipe bombs have been found in Midwestern mailboxes over the weekend. Delivery was suspended Saturday in parts of the Midwest. Today, people who expect to receive their mail in the Midwest have to leave their mailboxes open with tape across the box. An 18-year-old was arrested last night in St. Paul, Nebraska, but he's being connected with a pipe bomb hoax, so the feds are still looking for a lone suspect. Since all of the bombs are identical, that's what makes them believe there's just one source.
It's Nebraska, right?
Yes, Nebraska.
The Cornhusker State.
Well, that's one of them, yes.
It's pipe bombs.
Yes, that's correct.
Is it a corn cob pipe?
No. Ah. No, it isn't.
I'm
very
sorry.
Good guess. Thank
you've gotten bombed with a pipe before.
Yeah. 16 bombs have been found in mailboxes since Friday in Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois, counting the hoax. The Nebraska bombs were duds, but six people were hurt by bombs in the other two states. They're all out of hospital today. Those bombs came with anti-government notes labeled as attention getters.
Mm.
And apparently I wasn't the only one awakened and just a little unnerved by explosions in Manhattan last night.
Duh!
Police say their phones started ringing after a couple of fireworks displays to celebrate NBC's 75th anniversary.
Thanks, NBC.
First round went off at around 11:15, followed by a final round at midnight. The fire department knew about the fireworks in advance, but policy requires a truck to show up, sirens blaring, anytime there's a call.
I like it. You guys didn't stay up to see the part at 1 o'clock.
What was that?
They threw live peacocks out the window.
That was great. The only thing I want to hear, the only thing I want to hear from NBC is the cast of Will and Grace being pushed from the top of Rockefeller Center. You start with the bitch that's got the crazy voice, then you go with the very gay guy.
Plus CTV.
Then you go with the guy who's not gay but pretends to be gay.
Oh.
And then maybe you just hold Grace by her hair.
Yeah,
by her pubic hair.
Deborah Messing. She's lovely. That'll make her messing.
Spider-Man caught 100...
Buzz?
Yes?
Spider-Man.
Caught $114 million in its opening weekend web, setting a new box office record.
Loved it.
Loved it.
So much like the comic book. Loved it.
Spidey's the first movie ever to take in over $100 million in its first weekend.
And since we're doing these Spider-Man things with the web and all that, this movie has legs.
Eight of them.
Harry Potter set the previous three-day record with $90 million. Two other new movies
this
weekend.
Quite a bite out of the box office, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Sure.
Yeah.
Two other
in the awards this weekend.
Sorry.
Deuce is Wild and Hollywood Ending.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Buzz.
I'm sorry for both of you.
The other two movies that opened this weekend, Deuces Wild and Hollywood Ending, paled in comparison, opening in 7th and 10th place with just over $2 million apiece. Scorpion King fell to 2nd place in its 3rd weekend out, making just under $10 million.
So that means the Scorpion King was, only $100 million behind Spider-Man.
Wow. Yeah, roughly, that's true.
If you took all the films at 2 through 10 and tripled their total... All
right.
Spider-Man still won.
Spider-Man.
Go see it.
Ozzy Osbourne stole the show at the president's dinner for White House reporters last night. The former lead singer of Black Sabbath, now a TV phenomenon, stood up on a chair at the dinner and waved wildly to the crowd when he was introduced by the president. To which Mr. Bush responded, "Okay, Ozzy, might have been a mistake."
That's funny. I like the fact that Bush invited him.
Not to be outdone, though, the president also narrated a slideshow that included a photo of Vice President Dick Cheney. In the photo, the vice president appeared to be urinating on the door of the Oval Office.
Hold on, please. Right. We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What the hell kind of country is this where I can only hate a man if he's white?
The Don and Mike Show.
DJs and DAs. The Don and Mike Show.
And once again, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In San Bernardino, California, a female science teacher everyone liked is in trouble for running off with a 15-year-old male student.
Oh, dear.
They were found Thursday in a Las Vegas hotel room.
Nice.
The 33-year-old teacher and her freshman student were in a $39 a night room in the same hotel where Elvis played his first Vegas gig in 1959.
That's a nice boy.
That's a nice boy, just like a Johnny Constantine.
No,
that's not
why I said that, please.
So sad.
Stop it. Teacher was arrested on kidnapping charges. She's now facing felony charges in the end of her teaching career. She may face other charges, including supplying minors with alcohol. There's some evidence that founding father Thomas Jefferson was also the father of one of his slaves' children, but the white descendants of Thomas Jefferson aren't ready to accept that.
Sorry, Buzz.
That's all right.
I heard you about that.
They say scholars tell them there's not enough evidence to prove this theory.
Evidence my ass.
So the Organization of Descendants voted yesterday not to let the descendants of Sally Hemings into their organization.
Hello there.
They also voted not to set up a separate organization for Hemings descendants.
Hello. This am Thomas Jefferson's baby.
The Chicago area is rich with...
How am you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And Rob, again, we're going through the chart. If it was half Thomas Jefferson and half a slave...
That's a mulatto, and then if it's one quarter, it's a quadroon, and if it's one-eighth African-American, an octoroon.
I don't like it when you guys go there.
So the, Mike, well. it's book learning.
I understand, book learning.
Yeah,
look it up. They're the books from his library.
Yeah.
His evil library.
So Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's son or daughter would be
a mulatto.
Right.
Hello.
That's
right.
Yeah.
I'm a mulatto.
You're dangerous, Spiewak.
Mulatto Jefferson. Hello there.
The Chicago area is rich with parks. They call them forest preserves. People walk and bike their ways through them a lot this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, one passerby noticed a 55-gallon drum in the park sealed and labeled with a hazardous materials warning.
Of course, when that leader was president, who lived in the White House?
The Jeffersons.
We're moving on up.
Yes.
The fire department arrived at this park in Chicago, cleared the area, and tried to figure out what was inside the barrel. At first, all they could determine was it was liquid.
Mm-hmm.
They called in the hazmat crew. The crew opened the drum, and then they knew what they had.
Hazmat!
Semen.
Oh.
55 gallons of it.
Oh, Mike,
God.
I'm sorry, I had nowhere else to store it.
That's one time for you, I know.
It was pig or goat semen, and they're still not sure specifically where it came from.
Oh. Well, it was half mine, half pig, and half goat. I was having fun with the animals. We're having a contest.
Police say they have now properly disposed of the semen, but they won't say how.
Ew.
In sports,
too bad Linda Lovelace is dead.
Mike Tyson admits he bit Lennox Lewis's leg back in January.
I have you to your limit, faggot.
The bite, which Tyson didn't admit to at the time, is why the Nevada Boxing Commission yanked his license. They'll now meet in Memphis on June 8th, Tyson and Lewis will. Tyson talks about the bite in a Fox News Channel interview that airs this weekend. And finally...
We'll be there.
We're so there.
Finally, it's that time of year again. guys without pants.
Yeah.
In Rockledge, Florida, a man took off his clothes in a police station. He wanted to be arrested. He'd gotten a court summons for public nudity already, but he didn't want a summons. He wanted to be arrested. He finally got his wish. Quoting a cop, next thing I knew, he was butt naked and standing on a chair.
Hi there.
You had to be there. And in La Crosse, Wisconsin, they're looking for the man who went into a laundromat, took off his clothes, and put them in a dryer.
James Source.
Then he started talking to a couple of women who were also doing their laundry. He told them he'd just moved to La Crosse from Minnesota. He says his clothes got wet and needed drying. The women say, his clothes didn't look wet. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Tomorrow on the show, I don't even know.
Hey, wow.
Well, John, we'll see.
We'll wing it.
Yeah, I'm going to go see the doctor now.
We'll have a full report on what your doctor tells
you. Gotcha. And also the secret Rolling Stones announcement.
Yes.
That is on tomorrow's episode.
Wonder who it's about.
Good day to you, sir.
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 And Rob, my friend.
You might just make it on your own, the Constantino.
Might just make it after all.
Oh, sorry, Donny, you make me cry. So long, everybody.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.